The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Friday. It is December 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a mother and father have been charged with murder after their 10-month-old daughter died after ingesting fentanyl back in April. Police say the baby's parents knew she needed help but waited hours to call paramedics and then fabricated a story about what happened. 34-year-old Lauren Semyak was arrested Thursday in connection with the death of her 10-month-old daughter, Angelina. The girl's father, Joseph Milano, was already in custody following a DUI arrest. Police say together the pair tried to cover up the fact that their little girl ingested heroin. This is a very, very tragic story, and it shows what drug addiction can do. Upper Darby Police Superintendent Michael Chitwood said Thursday. Police say it happened in the couple's home in the 5100 block of Wesley in the Clifton Heights section of Upper Darby on April 16th. The parents called 911 and told paramedics the unresponsive child had slipped underwater in the bathtub. Only later did investigators confirm the child ingested fentanyl-laced heroin. Investigators say the little girl might have been saved. Instead, police say the parents waited a minimum of 6 hours before calling for medical help. And by then it was far too late to save the little girl.
Incredibly tragic.
Yeah, the parents are charged with third-degree murder and related offenses. A man has been arrested for the murder of his landlord and two roommates inside the home of the Tioga Nicetown section of Philadelphia. Remember this story earlier
yes.
in the week? There were three bodies found. 23-year-old Taze Young is accused of killing the three victims late last week and leaving their bodies wrapped in blankets. The bodies were found at about 7:30 in the evening on Saturday in the 1900 block of West Venango Street. Investigators say Young was being evicted from the house by his landlord, 92-year-old William Harris, because he couldn't pay his rent. So he was renting a room inside of this house, and they were evicting him. Harrison and 57-year-old Earl Cottle were found in the basement with blunt force trauma to the head. 60-year-old Khadija Abdullah was discovered stabbed to death in the second floor bedroom. Harrison and Abdullah were a couple, police say, and Cottle was Abdullah's brother. Young was arrested in the area of 16th and Chestnut in Center City on Wednesday while allegedly using Harris's credit card. He is being charged with murder, robbery, and related offenses. Young also had an active arrest warrant for a burglary. He had three priors, including a 2014 theft arrest. He was released from prison in July of this year. However, he's back in jail facing murder charges. Tris Pharma issued a voluntary recall of three lots of infant ibuprofen concentrated oral suspension or liquid ibuprofen that are being sold at Walmart, CVS, and Family Dollar. The company issued the recall after reports that the product may contain higher concentrations of ibuprofen.
We were just talking about this yesterday with you, Preston.
Yeah.
The products are used as pain relievers and fever reducers. Infants who are more susceptible to a higher potency level of the drug could be more vulnerable. Children could suffer from nausea, vomiting, epigastric pain or diarrhea. The company says tinnitus, headaches, and gastrointestinal bleeding are also possible effects. The 0.5-ounce bottles that are being recalled are the Equate Infant Ibuprofen, CVS Health Ibuprofen.
I use all of these, actually.
Do you? Yeah.
And Family Wellness Infant Ibuprofen.
Yeah. My two older ones are actually able to swallow pills now, actually, and it's really impressive because my oldest one, she could drink an entire
forever.
Glass of water and spit the pill out, but she can finally take a pill now.
All right, well, that's good. She didn't have to use this other stuff.
But we that's what we used for the longest time.
Right.
My youngest will still use that as well. But
so they recalled a whole lot of them.
Yeah, be careful. Well, they're the, you know, it's like the store brands.
Right.
So it's coming from this Trish Pharma, and it's the store brands, Equate, CVS, and then Family Wellness, which is being sold at the Family Dollar store.
It has the lot numbers on it or whatever?
It does, yeah. Okay. I can give you all the information, yeah. According to the company, no complaints have been issued. However, those who experience problems related to the recall should see a doctor. If you have any questions, they're directing them to the company. In sports this morning... The The Flyers lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets in overtime last night in South Philly. Seth Jones scored his second goal of the game 10 seconds into overtime to lift the Blue Jackets over the Flyers 4-3. Travis Sanheim scored a pair of third-period goals to tie the game, and Claude Giroux had a goal and an assist for the Flyers, who are playing for the first time under new general manager Chuck Fletcher. The Flyers are back in action tomorrow night as they begin a five-game road trip with a matchup in Buffalo against the Sabres. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. The Sixers will look to bounce back from their loss against the Toronto Raptors with a game tonight in Detroit against the Pistons. The two teams are close in the standings, with the Sixers sitting at third in the East with a record of 17-9, while the Pistons are two games back in fourth place at 13-9. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. Chris Long has been named the Eagles' Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. In addition to his work with Water Boys, the initiative that has funded sustainable deep water wells run by solar panels serve tens of thousands of people in Africa, Long continues to put his money where his mouth is. In January, the Chris Long Foundation teamed up with former First Lady Michelle Obama to help low-income students apply for college and get the financial aid they need. And this season, teaming up with United Way and Read by Fourth, Long donated a quarter of his salary towards the first quarter for literacy initiative to fund books, right, and literacy resources to young readers in underserved areas of Philadelphia.
Well, that is walking
amazing.
The walk.
Yes.
Imagine offering up a quarter of your salary. That's impressive, no matter how much money you're making.
This coming off a season where he gave up his entire salary.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's a good man.
That's cool. Good for him.
In Thursday Night Football, Derrick Henry had a record-tying 99-yard touchdown run, and the Tennessee Titans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 30-9 to stay in the playoff race. The Eagles play the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday with first place in the NFC East on the line. Kickoff is set for 4:25, and those Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thanks, Kath. Welcome all who choose to join on this blessed Friday morning. The weekend just a little, just right within your grasp.
Yes. You know, listen, we did have a weekend after the camp out, but I do not feel that I'm fully out of camp out recovery mode.
I agree. You know, any time that you have a an extra load at work where you got to pull double hours or whatever it may be.
And we're loads to begin with.
It's got a lingering effect to it. And I'm ready for a weekend and then get back to it next week. And then all of a sudden we're doing our Christmas miracle. And
we're not
going to
bounce
Christmas.
Back till like after Christmas.
I know.
You know, though, we were just talking about this. Having that earlier camp out week
has made
a tremendous amount of difference.
Amazing.
Because I feel we can be better prepped coming into the Christmas miracle, and I can actually savor the holidays a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
We've already got our phones lit up right now, so we should go ahead and give away some Christmas miracle passes right now. I think so, yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle! Yeah!
So, this is on the 20th. It's a Thursday, and we're going to be at Parks Casino, and we've basically doubled the audience for it because they've brought us into their new facility is called the Excite Center. It's not brand new. It's been around for a little while, but it's our first experience in there outside of touring the facility.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did we take our first tour of the Excite Center after last year's
I think it was.
Christmas
right after
Miracle.
Last
yeah.
year's Christmas Miracle, yeah. We went over and did a walkthrough.
Right.
And we'd like to fill it up with Preston and Steve listeners and a chance for you to win some great prizes, some of our favorite things from some of our favorite people. A lot of our clients offer up some really big prizes to give away, and it's just a way to slide into the holidays on a high note. So let's take 10 callers. All right, we got a lot of seats to fill. 215-263-WMMR. Unifrank incumbent only. You will be eligible to have your name drawn to end up on Contestants Row. It's a contest that we do. It's all about Preston and Steve knowledge. What do you know about our show? How long have you been listening? We want to reward our most loyal of listeners.
You know, someone on Twitter had posed the idea, and I think it's a legitimate one. If you want to do some sort of Cliff Notes type boning up on the show, the Daily Rush videos could help a lot.
You're absolutely correct about that. And we will be doing this with podcasters as well. So
yes,
if you listen to the podcast, don't worry, you'll have your opportunity to get on board, too. So 215-263-WMMR, you have to be at least 21 years of age, and let's get you on board to be a part of the President Steve Christmas Miracle Live broadcast. You got to be free that Thursday morning, the 20th. One guest today, it is Christina P. We have not had her by. She is going to be performing at Punchline tonight only. So we like meet new people, and she'll be here this morning.
She's Tom Segura's wife.
That is correct. Hatfield Quality Meats will be here for a meat and eat. So anybody hanging out is going to get some good eats. So we'll feed Christina if she's hungry.
If she's hungry, if not,
yeah.
We don't care.
And we have some other things to give away, like that screening of the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is on Sunday. So listen up for your chance to win tickets to that. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, big news out of Hollywood, Kevin Hart and the Oscars. He is not going to be hosting it. If you don't know the details, we'll get you that next, as well as the Golden Globe nominations and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get them a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Anyway. You know, we're watching the footage of this right now of Josh Homme kicking the photographer. And the thing is, though, guys, that after he does it, you know, if you and I, if we were to just throw a pretend kick out and accidentally connect, immediately you would be like, oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry. I did not mean to do that. He just keeps
walking,
kind of sashaying across the
stage.
Well,
the show must go on, Preston.
Yeah, I know. But you could go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll come back in a minute. Anyhow, it's worth the look because it's kind of interesting. All right. I have a banner and difficult, stupid question for you this morning.
Excited.
This is courtesy of listener Blake Steen, and I told Blake you can't answer because you sent me the question. So that's the deal. Now, I love the contribution, but keep in mind, if you do submit the question you can't answer, you got to leave it out there for everybody. And this one is hard. So,
I'm going to get my pen out.
You won't get it. It's going to need
some... Is it quantum physics?
No, but it's going to need some serious research. So we're going to give away a $75 Amex gift card and the Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, and Supergirl Season 3 on DVD. In the 1987 Sylvester Stallone classic film, Over the Top, Sylvester's character, Lincoln Hawk, drives a truck that pulls a white-colored box trailer on the way to California. What brand of aftershave is displayed on the side of that trailer?
Stop it.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer.
I have the scene right in my mind.
All right, so he drives. Lincoln Hawk drives a truck. Look at the lines already lit up. I didn't even ask the question. You'll never get this unless you do some research first. Lincoln Hawk drives a truck that pulls a white-colored box trailer on the way to California. What brand of aftershave is displayed on the side of the trailer? 215-263-WMMR. And you know what? I'll give you an extra prize.
Wow.
Well,
really?
I'll ask a bonus question.
Ooh.
Yeah, because Blake added a bonus question. And we'll see. First, you have to get it correct, and then I'll ask you the bonus question.
All right.
So, birthdays today. It is the 7th day of December. By the way, Pearl Harbor Day, 1941.
Yes, it is.
That horrible thing took place. Some birthdays to run by you. Dominic Howard of Muse. He's a drummer. He's 41 years old. Actor Nicholas Holt, who you know from About a Boy. He was the boy.
He was
About
the boy.
And he was this odd-looking kid. Went on to be this really good-looking guy.
He is, yeah. Did you see Jack and the Beanstalk?
No, I didn't.
He's in that. He is the lead.
Okay. There was a Jack and the Beanstalk movie?
Yeah.
Live action?
Really?
Jack and the Giant, I should say. Jack the Giant Killer, maybe.
Do I remember that?
It's with him with the Giants, right?
Maybe. The New York Giants?
No. You know the...
Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's it. Not Jack and the Beanstalk, but he's really good in it.
He was also a Beast in some of the X-Men movies and Clash of the Titans he was in as well.
And on again, off again, squeeze of Jennifer Lawrence.
He's 29 today. Actress Emily Browning, who was the lead role in Sucker Punch. She's also in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events and a few other things.
She's also in a really good movie, Preston, called Legend, about the Cray brothers in England in the 60s. They were a mob family, And these brothers, one brother, but they're both psychotic, but one brother completely psychotic. Tom Hardy plays both of them and does such a good job. You completely forget it's the same guy playing both roles.
No kidding.
And she is gorgeous. Oh, I forgot about her. Okay.
Yeah, she's 30 today. Jennifer Carpenter, we love her. The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Dexter.
Yes.
Also in a great movie called Quarantine. She's 39. Actress Ellen Burstyn, Steve, from The Exorcist. So you have The Exorcism of Emily Rose and then The Exorcist.
I'm going to have to say the greatest horror movie of all time.
Yeah. It's the one that scared me the most.
Yeah.
No question.
Did you like it, the new release that they did?
With the additional footage?
With the additional footage?
I think the best version of The Exorcist was the original theatrical version, but I find it interesting to see the other variations on it, but the best version.
Yeah.
But the best ending is the actual theatrical version that first hit theaters.
Yeah.
So Ellen Burstyn is 86. T.O. has his birthday today.
Really?
Yeah, Terrell Owens is...
What scary movie was he in?
He wasn't in any scary...
Super Bowl, whatever that was.
Yeah, whatever that was, that one was. He's 45 today.
Remember that weird thing when they went to... It was him. They went to his house and he started doing crunches on his front lawn.
He was doing his workout because he was asked to... not participate in training camp activities at Eagles training camp. So
training camp activities.
But I mean, you know, in his defense, he is a workout like
he's in great shape.
Psycho, and so he and all the paparazzi was there. So he's like, all right, well, I'm gonna hold my own little training camp out in my driveway.
See, that, if Frank Rizzo had done that, had gotten down instead of threatening to fight them and had done crunches, it would have been a whole different story.
Would have been impressive.
Watch this, you crumb bums.
Great actor, Jeffrey Wright, who's in everything from a few of the Bond movies, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace.
Phenomenal.
Angels in America. He plays a few different characters in Angels in America. And The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Westworld, he's in as well.
Yes.
Isn't he like the lead designer?
He is the lead designer. And get caught up.
Okay,
his character takes an the whole series takes an interesting arc.
So he is 53 today. Tom Waits, the raspy voiced singer songwriter and sometimes actor.
Yes, and a good actor.
He is a good actor.
When he plays like a Tom Waits character.
Yeah, and so have you seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
I have not.
Okay. I want to watch it. Is it good?
Yes. Okay. It's six separate stories. Okay. He plays the prospector in one. His story is my favorite of the six.
Okay.
And he plays Tom Waits.
There you go.
Steve, he's kind of like Nick Nolte in the role as well. But he's phenomenal, and I'll be interested to hear what your opinion on it is, Preston, because it's different, but I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
He is in one of my favorite movies that was actually sort of a disaster for Francis Ford Coppola. It was called One from the Heart, and it was a movie that was shot entirely indoors for Zoetrope, but it takes place in Las Vegas, and it's a romantic musical, but it's great.
Tom Waits is 69. Larry Bird, Boston Celtics legend, basketball Hall of Famer.
And that was formerly married to Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Yes, he was. He was the first lady.
Larry Bird Johnson.
United States.
Right.
That's right.
Am I, as a Philadelphian and Sixers fan, am I supposed to hate Larry Bird? Or
not anymore, but in the 80s you should have. Yeah, okay. He and Dr. J got in some fist fights, which were pretty awesome.
He had that iconic photo of them at each other's throats, literally.
The first video game I ever owned was Larry Bird versus Dr. J. It was a PC video game. Man, it was so primitive. You had to play with a joystick, but it was the only music was a 8-bit version of Sweet Georgia Brown. And it just played over and over and over again.
Which, of course, is well known as the Globetrotters.
Right, yeah.
If you go back and you watch highlights of Larry Bird, if you can first get past the basketball shorts that they used to wear back then, because we're so not used to seeing that now.
Ridiculous.
It's incredibly impressive how great he was. He's 62 today. And the last birthday, another great one. Steve, we mention this every time it's his birthday, Johnny Bench, Hall of Fame catcher, creator of the Johnny Bench batter up
home
batting system.
God, did I love that.
I beat the crap out of that thing in my backyard.
You don't even, and the best part is you don't need any friends.
Yeah, you just hit this ball that swings around and comes back to you. It was actually a lot of fun. So he is celebrating his 71st birthday today.
Preston, I destroyed that in one afternoon.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mine lasted for a while. Johnny Bench, happy birthday to you and everybody celebrating birthdays today on the 7th day of December. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. This is a tough one. Thank you to listener Blake. And I have a bonus question. Casey, do we have a bonus prize?
Yeah, I can throw in a bonus prize.
Is this the right answer, by the way?
No. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. In the 1987 Sylvester Stallone film Over the Top, Sylvester's character Lincoln Hawk drives a truck that pulls a white-colored box trailer on the way to California. What brand of aftershave is displayed on the side? And it's interesting, the spellings of some of these that we have on our monitors.
Yeah.
But I will go to, I'll go to Joe and see if he knows. Hi, Joe, good morning.
Hi, Grandma.
Joe, what was the aftershave that was displayed on the trailer, please?
That would be Brute.
Brute, yes. Oh! Now, I have a bonus question for you. We already have a prize, which I'm going to tell you. If you can tell me the phrase, the next to the logo is the ad phrase. Do you know what it said? It's all right if you don't, because you got a prize anyway.
Is it the essence of man? Or
no, it's not the essence of man. That's close, though. The answer to that is, it smells like a man.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Grandma.
That manly smell that your grandma loves.
You smell like a little man.
Yeah.
I kind of want to give it to him. The essence of man, that's pretty close to the phrase.
That is incorrect. You are not getting it. I'm sorry. Dang. I need it specifically. Joe, though, we have a $75 Amex gift card and the Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, and Supergirl Season 7 on DVD. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information. They're all available now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Starting Sunday night at 8 on the CW, tune into The Flash to kick off Elseworlds, the biggest superhero crossover event yet. Over three nights, heroes of The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl will encounter new enemies, and destiny will be rewritten.
Run that clip again, because I forgot. In his big rig, so you know, he's estranged from his son in the movie Over the Top, yeah. Sylvester Stallone. And he figures that he can win him back over by dominating in this arm wrestling competition.
Yep.
So he's an interstate trucker, Preston. Do you remember? And they show it in the video. He's got a rig in his truck to practice his arm movements.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. Please get to the clip as he's driving. Down to the end here.
All right. So he. Look at yeah, he's got a cable weight system set up in his truck while he drives.
What I built.
So
I can work out.
Yeah, while he's driving.
Oh, my God. That's his actual son, isn't it?
No.
I don't think so. No. And, in fact, that's a kid that used to be on a soap opera, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, soap opera.
Nick, look up the actor's name, if you don't mind.
I'm working out!
Because I think he was a good crier as a...
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh, he cries a lot in this movie. Oh.
Yeah, I remember. For some reason, I thought it was Will Wheaton, but it's not him.
Will Wheaton. The kid was too. I think the kid was nothing like Stallone. They should have gotten a kid who was at least in the ballpark.
I don't see him on the list here.
I don't know what the kid's name was.
I think his actual son Casey was in Rocky V, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You talk about Sage.
We will. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. We have some entertainment news and some breaking news from last night. Kevin Hart announced that he will no longer be hosting the Oscars next year.
This is super sad because it was and he has said many times, it was his dream job.
After receiving backlash for some insensitive tweets that he posted from 2010 and 2011, he was being criticized for reportedly deleting the tweets and refused to apologize.
But he ended up apologizing anyway.
Well, here, let me get to it. He apologized after he said that he was going to step down. But I think it's a smart move considering the circumstances, and I'll explain. But anyhow, one alleged tweet from 2011 read, "Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, 'Stop, that's gay.'" So that's one of them that got people up in arms about it. He initially responded in an Instagram video saying that he has grown and he's not the same person he was 8 years ago. And I think we have
two clips.
There's a couple of clips.
Yeah.
So let me play this first one and see what we get from this. Here we go.
I swear, man, our world is becoming beyond crazy. And I'm not going to let the craziness frustrate me or anger me, especially when I worked hard to get to the mental space that I am at now. My team calls me, "Oh my God, Kevin, the world is upset about tweets you did years ago. Oh my God."
And then there's another clip about him not apologizing because initially they said, "Hey, we're going to have to pass on you if you don't apologize publicly for that." And then he said he wasn't going to do it. And this is him commenting on that.
"I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to hold people in a position where they always have to justify or explain their past, then do you. I'm the wrong guy, man. I'm in a great place, a great mature place, where all I do is spread positivity. If you're not doing that, you're not on my page.
So to your point, Preston, about this, I checked his website with the apology, and I've checked a few other Twitter pages and Twitter threads. The majority, the vast majority, are siding with him.
Sure.
So he probably did do the, because he would have been a distraction, which was his fear now, because his whole thing was in motion. He quits it now,
right?
And the reaction to him is positive.
Yeah, if he would have said, "Listen, I apologize. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I hurt people. Blah 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 blah." And went and did the apology because he wanted to keep the job.
Yeah,
because he wanted to get that. That would probably be scrutinized a little bit by declining and saying, "I'm going to step down." And then he followed it up with an apology. He said, this was around midnight. He said, "I've made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists. I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words in the past." He said, "I'm sorry that I hurt people, and I'm evolving and want to continue to do so. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciated to the Academy." So by doing that, yes, he's taken away the spotlight. If he would have hosted it and done it after apologizing, people, it would have all been, "What's Kevin going to say? What's he going to say about that?"
Yeah, but then more people tune in and watch.
I know, but that would be good for ratings for that. But for him personally,
I get the distraction. Yeah. I think, to me, what I thought when I first heard this story, and still now, he ended up apologizing anyway. I think it's a little bit of somebody who doesn't want to be told what to do. He said, "I apologized before. I'm not doing it again."
Right. Well, everyone at least the vast majority of what I'm reading is saying, "Don't apologize. You don't need to apologize." That was years ago.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying he already apologized for it.
Yeah, right. So you don't need to apologize. So the people are taking his side. But I think, to Preston's point, it would have been harder to get that result and keep.
I know. But if this is something, like, I'm just thinking, he said this is a chance of a lifetime. This is something that he's always wanted to do. So suck it up and say, "You know what? I'm going to apologize again." Put it out there. They're asking me to apologize. I've apologized for this in the past. I'm going to do it again. I've moved past it. It's 8 years later. I don't tweet things like that anymore. I apologize, and I'm going to host the show.
So it can be a vast group of people who are saying, "Don't apologize. You don't need to." And then you'll have a small group that'll keep banging the drum on it, even while he's hosting, and it will be an issue.
Here's what I think, Kathy. I think they'll approach him again and ask him to host it.
In a different year?
No. Maybe even this year.
Oh, really?
But if not this year, next year. I think they might, in light of the apology, even though he has already said he's going to step down, I wouldn't doubt if they, because that might bring in more
that
viewers,
would bring
too.
More,
honestly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are people, listen, and he says, as you read through a lot of these things, it was of a time when he was making these kind of jokes. They talked to Kevin Klein, which I thought was kind of interesting. TMZ got him out on the streets in New York, and Kevin Klein's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's just walking along, and he says, "Listen, these kind of jokes were made years ago.
Yep.
People have moved past that. These kind of things used to be fodder for comedy." And he says, "Kevin Klein, I believe him. He's fine. Let him host the Oscars."
So, not to go off on it too long, but let's use this as a cautionary tale lesson here. So, Nick and I were actually having a conversation yesterday about things in your past that you've done and how they can come back to haunt you. And we were talking about, listen, there were things that I did in my teens and 20s that I look back on and go, "Man, were you a freaking idiot."
Mm-hmm.
Horrible things that I said or thought, because of where I was in life and who I was surrounded by and some of those things that were being said to me and my naivete.
Yes.
I have grown. I'm 50 years old. I'm a different person now. I feel different to certain communities, maybe even back to the gay community back then. I may have had a completely different view. I'm sure I did. And now that I know people and there are people that I love, I have a different take and a different opinion on that. But here's the difference is... I didn't commit it to a digital footprint, which is where we are now. And we
were lucky.
And when Kevin was doing these things, it was in more of an infantile stage of social media, and people didn't realize the longevity and the black and whiteness of it. And I think we use this as a cautionary tale. Before you hit okay or send or whatever that is, think about that. It plays differently than
you on stage with a microphone or you talking to people, as opposed to it being written down and right there and people can access it and it's archived and it's a different story.
It absolutely is. You're exactly right. A cautionary tale. But it's also, I think, a good piece of advice to try to remember that we've all had things in our past. And whether or not we fell into the trap of committing it to, as you say, a digital footprint, try to have a little compassion and acknowledge the fact that people do grow and people go through life and do stupid things,
right,
and have a capacity to forgive. You don't forgive like a Harvey Weinstein if all this stuff pans out.
Right.
That's horrible stuff. But if a few flipping comments made, you know, by this guy a while ago is going to come and if we start doing this, we're going down a rabbit hole where no one is going to escape unscathed.
I think that's for the time right now. I think that as people continue to learn these lessons, a few years from now, we're going to see less and less.
They're going to be less. Yes.
So we're going through growing pains with this right now. People are realizing, wow, I really shouldn't have done that because I didn't know this was going to happen. And now we're seeing stories like this, and now you might think twice about that.
You need to show me that smile again.
Yes, show me that smile.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't waste another minute on your crying, guys.
So Steve, to your point also, comedy evolves. You know, comedy changes and context evolves. Who was against Kevin Hart hosting the Oscars as a result of these tweets?
I didn't see that.
It can be as small can be.
Well, so, but like just the raising of the tweets themselves, was that people then protesting him being the host? Or are they just pointing out these things?
The first that we heard about this was when he said they asked me to apologize.
Right, and I'm wondering who they is.
Somebody somewhere, somehow. Now it's kind of de rigueur for them to go and start going through your you know, the Twitter accounts. If there's someone who's high profile, it happens in politics.
Sure.
You know, I forget who was saying it, but there's a general fear now that some really good potential good people and good candidates who are currently good people who may have had a misstep a while ago will never see the light of day.
Keep in mind also, as in politics, is some people may be aware of this stuff for a long time, but they're waiting for the right moment to put the bullet in the gun and fire it. And
you're exactly right.
And they hold on to it. And as soon as he gets this really high, because, I mean, if he's working on a movie, it's not really going to affect him, probably.
I'm sitting on some Kathy Romano stuff. Oh, it's good.
So
turns out she only celebrates three seasonal activities.
What is the benefit of him not hosting?
Thank you.
Like, who wins when Kevin Hart then says, you know what, I'm not going to do it?
At this point now, Kevin Hart's winning.
Him, listen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Nick, to your question, I think it may be just that maybe those people that feel that strongly, these particular people who complain in the LGBTQ community are saying, no more. If you do this, there are consequences. Now, that may not necessarily be 100% the truth, but that may be the motivation behind it.
And yet, Preston, there are a number of people in that community who are standing up for
saying, agreed.
Come on.
So let's take a couple things from this. Keep in mind what you're posting.
Don't host the Oscars.
Don't host the Oscars.
If they ask you, say no.
And I also think he did, for him, he made the right move. He said he declined and then he apologized.
Boom.
As opposed to apologize and then go forward with it. So
here's a guy.
We'll
see
what ends up happening.
Here's a guy who, has come into this town countless times and donated full computer labs to students.
Yeah.
Donated tons of his money for charity.
He's a good guy.
Come on.
Did you guys see the tweets that were going around yesterday that said the next host should be Gritty?
Dude, I wouldn't.
You'll find something. Right? Get him in the bed with Bernie Perron.
Well, get somebody who doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
even then,
you won't have any problems. All right, so the Golden Globes were announced yesterday. We briefly touched on these late in the show, and this is probably all we're going to have time to get to because that was such a big story that we had to stop and discuss it a little bit. But the Hollywood Foreign Press Association announced, with the help of Terry Crews, Danai Gurira, and Leslie Mann and Christian Slater, they announced the nominations for the 2019 Golden Globes ceremony. The major nominations, Vice leads the pack with 6 nominations. Excuse me, including nods for Best Director, Adam McKay.
Adam McKay.
Yeah, which is cool.
Congratulations to him.
And Best Actor, Christian Bale. Best Musical / Comedy.
Now, we haven't seen it because they run it, you know, in a theater. Well, that's the way the Oscars work. I don't know how the Hollywood Foreign Press works. Maybe they can just send them screeners to make them eligible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's a good question.
Because it's not in theaters now, obviously.
So let me go through the nominees, and then I'm going to go through some of the snubs some ones that they missed out on. Best Motion Picture Drama, which we thought this was very cool that Black Panther is included in that. How cool is that?
It is the first superhero film to be nominated for Best Picture. You did have Oscar nominations for The Dark Knight.
Yep. Then you have Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. By the way, Bradley Cooper nominated in actor picture, because remember, he directed it. And also, what was the other? Best director and best picture. So
I was talking to him last night.
Oh, and
he was saying,
did he say hi?
He did. Says hi to everyone. Yeah, says yeah. He apologizes. He'll get back to you. Kathy says he's done three of the activities.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad he's enjoying.
But he is just
very busy. He loves those wreaths. Guys.
Yeah. All right.
He is
a
big fan.
Best most
Floral and Hardy.
Floral and Hardy. Back on Saturday. Oh, yeah. I'll be there Saturday.
By the way, yeah, I know exactly where it is now. I forgot where.
Do you
want to
go with me?
Yeah, let's go. You're going there when?
Saturday.
Maybe I'll pop by.
Okay.
Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Green Book, Mary Poppins Returns, and Vice.
I saw Crazy Rich Asians.
You saw it and?
I liked it.
All right.
They were raving on it, though.
By the way, it's tanking in China.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It did terrible.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow. Well, all right. But The Favorite is this one where textually I look at it, I go, I don't want to see this. I just don't want to watch it. Now it's getting all of these accolades. All these people are nominated for it. And I just, it's a period piece. Yeah. And I just.
About menstrual cycles?
It is, no. It goes back to a time.
No, it's not that kind of period.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's. No. I don't know, like Victorian era.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is just not interesting to me.
Okay.
It can be.
Well, don't go see it.
Yeah.
Best Motion Picture Animated.
I'm not going to see that.
All right. That's the thing.
I
get into
not
awards. No, I get it into award season. Now I feel like I have to watch it because it's going to be like nominated for all this stuff.
I'm back sorry to hear that.
I know. Tough times.
Okay. Best Motion Picture.
Thank you, Steve.
There was a young man. No.
I don't know who I am anymore. I saw a movie about menstrual cramps.
Favorite.
It was a period piece.
Oh, my God. All right, so animated film. The Incredibles 2.
Yes.
Isle of Dogs.
Yes.
Myra, which I'm not familiar with.
It's the story of Myra Rudolph.
No, it's not. I think it's a Japanese.
Okay.
Anime?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Ah.
And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which we have a screening for on Sunday.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Still. That's 100%. A tough call, though. There's a couple. I did see the Isle of Dogs,
and?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Tim Burton? Did you did that?
No, I think it's Wes Anderson.
Yeah, that's
Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right, let me move along because it's already after 7. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to
we're
get to
we're too entertaining.
Actress in a motion picture drama. Glenn Close for The Wife. Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born. Nicole Kidman for Destroyer. Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Rosamund Pike for A Private War. Best performance by an actor in motion picture drama. Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born. William Dafoe in At Eternity's Gate. Lucas Hedges for Boy Erased.
Oh.
Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody.
You said he was great.
He was fantastic. John David Washington for Black Klansman.
Well, that's Denzel's son.
Okay. Yeah. Actress in a musical or comedy. Emily Blunt for Mary Poppins. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Elise Fisher for Eighth Grade.
Elise Fisher.
Charlize Theron in Tully. And Constance Wu. For Crazy Rich Asians. Had no idea that was going to happen.
So Constance Wu is on that show, Fresh Off the Boat.
Yes. Actor in a musical or comedy. This is a
thing about movies?
No, this is not supporting role. This is a leading role. Christian Bale for Vice. Lin-Manuel Miranda for Mary Poppins Returns.
I want to see Mary Poppins Returns.
Viggo Mortensen in Green Book. Robert Redford in The Old Man and the Gun. And John C. Reilly for Stan and Ollie. Actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. Amy Adams in Vice, Claire Foy for First Man, Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone, The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. Actor in a supporting role in motion picture. How do you say his name?
Mahershala.
Thank you. Mahershala Ali, great actor in Green Book. Timothy Chalamet.
Yes.
For Beautiful Boy. Adam Driver for Black Klansman. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice. And he's playing
Bush.
Bush, that's right, yeah. Best Director Motion Picture, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Peter Farrelly for Green Book, Spike Lee for BlacKkKlansman, and Adam McKay for Vice. So we got two of our friends in there, Bradley Cooper and Adam McKay.
God almighty.
Both Philly guys.
I was conference with Adam
with
and
those guys?
Bradley last night.
Oh, my God.
And we
are they just excited?
Yes, yeah.
Very cool. best screenplay motion picture, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. And then we'll go on to the titles. The Favorite, If Beale Street Could Talk, Vice, and Adam McKay, of course, there. And then The Green Book. So those are for the screenplay. TV, quickly, let's go through those. Best television drama, The Americans, The Bodyguard.
Oh, well,
what a great show.
This is not the old movie, The Bodyguard.
No.
This is the BBC series, where Preston and I are big fans. And the guy in it, the main actor, The Bodyguard, is the one that they're talking about to be the next James Bond. Very and cool. I am double thumbs up on that.
Hey, I'm a big fan, too. It's not just you.
Okay, all right, you're on board.
Yeah, I finished it, too.
Okay.
So you were so upset about the... I'm a Victorian movie.
I'm a so-so fan because I'm only three episodes.
Okay.
But not a fan.
Kathy's not
then
a fan.
Then shut your hole.
Not one episode have I watched.
Just go back to
Floral and Hardy.
I'm busy. I'm out doing things.
I'm at Floral and Hardy. I don't have time.
And then we have Homecoming, Killing Eve, and Pose for Best Drama Television Series. For Best Musical or Comedy in TV, Barry, The Good Place. That's a fun show.
Yes.
Kidding, The Kaminsky Method, and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, these are all good shows.
Yeah. Television series, actress in a drama. Oh, my God. Catriona Balfi for Outlander.
Outlander, yeah.
Okay. Elizabeth Moss in The Handmaid's Tale. Sandra Oh, Killing Eve. Julia Roberts in Homecoming and Kerry Russell in The Americans. Actor, television series, drama. Jason Bateman in Ozark. Stephen James in Homecoming. Richard Madden in The Bodyguard. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Billy Porter for Pose and Matthew Reese for The Americans. Do you want to hear the comedies?
Yeah, rip through them.
Actress in a musical or a comedy. Kristen Bell, Good Place. Candace Bergen and Murphy Brown, which I canceled.
Canceled it.
Alison Brie for Glow. Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And Deborah Messing for Will and Grace.
Boo!
And then the last one, he doesn't like her. And then the last one, actor in a television series, musical or comedy. Sacha Baron Cohen for Who is America? Jim Carrey for Kidding. Michael Douglas for The Kaminsky Method. Donald Glover, for Atlanta. And Bill Hader for Barry.
What was The Marvelous Mrs.
Maisel?
I can't find
it. It's on
Amazon. Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon.
And it's great,
Netflix.
Cast.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Gotta go. Right. Now, the snubs.
And now the snubs.
First Man's Ryan Gosling.
Nothing.
Some people were expecting him. Black Panther's Michael B. Jordan missed nominations for Best Actor, but Chadwick Boseman and Ryan Coogler were, those guys were overlooked as well.
Ryan Coogler was the director.
Observers also voiced surprise that Oscar winner Viola Davis didn't get a nod for Widows, and John Krasinski missed out on A Quiet Place. He was great in that.
He was excellent. I would love to have seen him get an award for directing.
Yeah, that
or
movie,
at least a nomination.
That movie warrants some attention.
There's a lot of things you have to consider in that film when you're a director.
Yeah, there's a lack of dialogue.
Yeah,
I mean they had to rely on a lot of other visuals for that movie. The entire cast of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again was passed over. That includes Meryl Streep.
Well, that's because it stinks.
Amanda Seyfried's other film, First Reformed, was shut out. And also not nominated, Julia Roberts for Ben Is Back, Toni Collette for Hereditary, Ryan Reynolds for Once Upon a Deadpool. What's Once Upon a Deadpool?
Oh, it's not out yet.
It's the PG version of Deadpool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming out next week, I think.
So I saw the teaser for that. So, yeah.
Sorry, why would he be snubbed? Was his acting especially great in that?
Well, no, I don't know why they'd add it on this list. I guess maybe
they have to make a snub list. Get off their backs.
You know, and then Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie for Mary, Queen of Scots. Neither one of them got nominated.
I want to see that.
I do want to see
that. Yeah, I love Saoirse Ronan.
Farting in the Glen. Yeah.
In the morning, farting.
So those are the...
Hard farting.
Those are the Golden Globes. We haven't even done the clips yet.
Oh, my God. Are you just skipping movies that are being released this weekend?
I'm going to have to, man. It's like 10 after.
I feel molested.
I didn't even print them up. I'm sorry. We'll get to this. In Speechless, a family is challenged to find the best education for their son with cerebral palsy while their older son, JJ, learns to love and be himself. Here, Ray DeMeo and J.J. Fowler talk about their experience on the show with each other. Here we go.
I've learned that he's very, very funny. He's a great friend. He has worked very hard to get this part and is having a ton of fun doing it.
When I found out I booked the role, I was so excited.
The kid is really good. So, and obviously you see he has his speech impediment, so they don't have him speaking on the series. But he's really good. His, you know, the looks and the things that he does, funny.
So he has cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And Speechless airs tonight, 8:30. That is on ABC. Let's do the next clip. Tonight is the season finale of MacGyver, and this week, like every other week, Angus MacGyver races against the clock to save the world from an intentional threat. In this clip, Lucas Till talks about how the action evolved this season.
Much more intense action. We're doing a lot more practical stuff. So instead of me being in a sidecar and a motorcycle and a green screen, I was on a motorcycle.
Shut up, dummy.
season finale of MacGyver airs tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on CBS.
He doesn't do a lot of the physical stuff. It's the guy with him who does the majority of the physical stuff, you know?
Okay. Were we supposed to have him in for Monster Trucks?
Yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't happen.
No, we did.
Did we have him in for Monster Trucks?
We had him in. Okay.
Made a big impression.
The only thing I remember about Monster... The main thing I remember about that movie, Monster Truck, Steve, was your bit with Sean Connery, and I think it was Michael Caine, and you were doing as if they were in the Monster Trucks. Right. There's a Daily Rush video of it. It's great.
There's an actual monster in the truck.
That's right.
What I remember about the interview is us asking if he was going to come back in the next X-Men movie, and we hadn't seen the part where he dies in the other one. Right. We're like, never mind.
Guess not.
But doesn't death in any of those things doesn't mean you can't come back in a sequel.
Yeah.
All right, then there you go. That's
like Monster Trucks.
let's give away, we have a few spots left for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. 100%, as you said, Steve. I was looking at 71 reviews and 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. That's solid. 94% on the Want to See It list as well. Let's give away 5 of these. And then I think we have a few more to go after that, but that's it. It's on Sunday, so keep that in mind at the UA Riverview at 11 a.m. Doesn't hit theaters until December 14th, so you're getting in a week in advance, roughly. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. 5 people. We'll put you on the list. We'll be back in just a moment or so. Christina P., comedian, is going to be at Punchline tonight. We'll talk to her a little bit later on. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Struts.
You don't need to say a word.
Shine Down. The Fever 333.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Do you mind if I notice a couple of things?
Oh, yes, by all means, please.
I hate to spring that on you, Casey, because you're the one that does the noticer intro. Phil hit that
like
thing.
The phoenix from the ashes. He's back to notice more things for you. You're too busy to notice, but the noticer is there for you.
I've got sniffles,
down
unfortunately.
Down an empty alleyway with snot dribbling out of his nose. He still notices. He is the nosisitor.
The nosisitor. I noticed that men have shorter penises these days.
Yes, noticing that just myself.
Yeah.
My penis is shorter.
No, listen to this, though. This is an interesting study that scientists found out. Men could end up with penises half an inch shorter than usual if their parents were exposed to high levels of a chemical used in non-stick frying pans.
Damn it.
Yes.
They used to spoon feed me that stuff.
Scientists have found the chemicals called PFCs.
Yeah, you know me.
That's private first class, PFCs. Can interfere with male hormones and lead to sexual organs being significantly shorter and thinner.
All right.
Ooh, so shorter and thinner.
Ugh. Yeah, that's what you want to hear. Ooh, you're so short and thin.
This effect is not only seen in the womb.
You're not even going to know I did it.
PFCs could have toxic effects in teenagers, too. The chemicals also found in waterproof clothing and grease-proof packaging for food get into the bloodstream and reduce testosterone levels.
So here's the deal. are we talking, is this a dramatic thing or it could possibly maybe?
Could possibly maybe.
Okay. Because to me, that's not enough.
Well, here you go. Scientists found young men who grew up in an area.
I can live with 4 inches.
Polluted with PFCs have penises 12.5% shorter and 6.3% thinner than healthy men.
On the plus side, cookies don't stick to their penises.
yeah, true.
Yeah.
Think about that. researchers at the University of Padua in Italy.
That's where I go for all my information.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up. Made the discovery after measuring the penises of 383 men with an average age of 18. Padua, near Venice, is one of the four areas in the world known to have high levels of PFC pollution, which used to be used in Teflon coating until it was phased out in 2013. There are also health hazards in Dordrecht in the Netherlands.
Dordrecht in the Netherlands.
Shandong in China and West Virginia in
Shandong.
The United States. Yep.
Huh. I don't know. Every 7 to 8 months, they tell you something that you were exposed to as a child.
Yeah.
It's never, by the way, when was the last time you heard a story? It's going to make your penis bigger.
Yeah.
You know, the styrofoam you were exposed to in elementary school will make your penis bigger.
Speaking of which, I mean, there's no way to do that, right? There is no way to make it bigger. Is there?
No, there is.
Non-surgically?
Listen, everything is reliant on, from what I understand from the Just Saying Institute, blood circulation.
Okay.
So, for example, after various surgeries where blood is cut off or diminished to that area, to the genital area, it happened with me when I had the prostatectomy. They prescribed Cialis to increase the blood flow,
right,
so that you wouldn't have what they, you know, the shrinkage.
But the thing is, like, you see these ads, or at least, you know, a friend of mine was telling me when he was on a certain website that, you know, these ads pop up in like the corner, and you know, you can add 3 inches. No, but I mean, but it's always a substantial amount.
Yes.
And I'm like, who is, you know, when my friend was telling me about this, who is buying this? Like, who actually goes, whoa,
they
really?
Listen, of course something like that is good. If you're going to get suckers, that's something that's good. Somebody who's very conscientious and self-conscious about that is going to fork over whatever it takes to get that.
Yeah.
They always target things. Preston, I'm sure at a certain point you saw, like, with the psoriasis, right? There's all sorts of vitiligo, fly-by-night cures or holistic things that don't work.
Oh.
They target people who are sensitive about these things, and that's how they take you for a ride.
My wife brings them home for me all the time, and I don't use them.
Yeah.
I have topical steroids. Steroids.
Exactly.
That work.
Yeah.
It's about as powerful as you can get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, spraying Pam on your psoriasis isn't going to help.
So the Italian researchers found PFCs will bind to testosterone receptors and reduce levels of the male sex hormone used in the body. PFCs come in hundreds of forms and are widely used to make everyday products more convenient and longer lasting. They're found in fast food packaging, paper plates, stain-resistant carpets, windshield washing fluid, firefighting foam, and waterproof clothing.
You can't escape it then.
Wow. PFCs are also in some glues, cosmetics, medicines, electronics, cleaning products, polishes and waxes, insecticides and paints.
They're also in penis enlargers.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be
ironic,
the irony of it all?
At the best, you're going to get a draw.
Yeah.
this is so stupid. I mean, it's everywhere.
Studies have linked the chemical to early menopause, low birth weight, lower fertility, thyroid problems, high cholesterol, bladder cancer, and worse immune system function.
I saw a story, and it was sort of a cautionary tale about someone who went, I forget who it was. They were actually fairly well known, and I'm having a brain fart. But the long story short here is that they attempted to excise all of these things that could be introducing chemicals into their daily existence and eliminate risk. And in so doing, the things they adopted to get rid of those things tended to be more carcinogenic more lethal in the long run than the original stuff.
You know what would be great is if the sealer that you can put on the bottom of a boat added 6 inches to your penis.
There we go.
Woo!
Would be
not
awesome.
Only my gutter's clean, but I'm hung like a horse.
Yeah.
Kath, I want to ask you a quick question about, because menopause is brought up. Is menopause something that women actually look forward to?
I don't think so.
Who doesn't want to talk like Bea Arthur?
Well, no. I'm not talking about the actual.
Why are you asking me?
Well,
I'm not that old.
Can you remember when you went through menopause?
Casey's saying, not going through the hysterectomy.
Not going through the actual process of, you know, the sweats and, you know, all that sort of stuff, but like, the finish when you get
someone turn the heat up
when you get through the whole process and you don't have to.
I need a can of Pam to spray on my uterus.
Oh my God!
I think after you're through the process, which can be a bit of some time.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's great. There are things you don't have to deal with anymore. But
oh, okay.
I just know from from my mom. It was like, oh, it was like a different person. I was like, who's that monster?
I want to talk to the bitch.
Now,
literally, like a monster.
I said hysterectomy. You don't have to get one if you're in menopause, right?
That's a surgical procedure. Yeah, yeah. There's something wrong. And you still, some people, I hope I get this right, but I have a friend who had an issue. She's very young. She's actually only 40, and she had to have a hysterectomy, and she is still pretty much going through menopause.
Okay.
Even though everything was taken out.
So some people go through it quickly, and it
takes years.
Yeah, so, and that's...
Some takes a really long time.
Some of your mother.
Being a dude is so much better than being a girl.
Well, we've said that many times. There's a lot of plumbing issues.
There are issues that ladies have, that are much more difficult to deal with physically than men have to deal with.
But, like, girls' clothes are so much cuter, Nick.
That's true.
We have small penises because of no slip trays.
Yeah, our non-stick skillets. All right, I noticed other things, believe it or not.
This notices everything, not just penises.
Harvard Business School researchers asked 2,000 millionaires about...
2,000 millionaires or 2 million thousandaires?
No, 2,000 millionaires about their level of happiness. And it's interesting because they found no matter how much money you have, you'll never be happy. You'll always want more.
Well,
the results showed nearly every respondent said they needed to double or triple their wealth in order to be perfectly content. Specifically, 25% of those worth $1.5 million said they need 11 times more money to be perfectly happy.
So I don't, I've always been, as long as I can pay my bills, you know, and have a few creature comforts, that's fine. I consider myself a driven person, but I don't need... You know, a tanker truck's full of money.
Well, my eye is on retirement. That is the most important thing for me.
After your hysterectomy.
Yeah, after my hysterectomy. No. When work is done, will I not have to worry about money?
And you can
the most important thing.
A quality of life that's similar.
That's similar to what I'm
to what you have right now.
Exactly.
I think that's it. I don't... To have an excessive wealth, and we've talked about this, Kathy, where you don't even, there's no way you can spend it.
Well, and that's what I was going to talk about, is it goes to, like, we talk about these houses, these giant mansions, and you know, often, Steve, you'll say, what do they do with that? They probably don't even go in those rooms, but that's what it is. It's, they can afford it, and they want more, you know, like, just like us. It's, we think, oh, well, if we could have that, this is what we would do with it, but they think that just, you know, the next level up.
Now, to interrupt before you go, Case, 25% of those worth $1.5 million said they need 11 times more money to be perfectly happy, while another 25% said they need 6 times as much. So,
yeah,
they want a lot.
I mean, I got a couple of things to say here. We also, when there are, like, high-profile celebrity divorces and you hear about, like, these crazy spousal support money, and it all goes, you know, the line of thinking is, well, they have been... living this lifestyle, and they need
to continue. That's what they use in court. I've become accustomed to this style. Right?
And it's understandable. Yeah. Now, listen, I know that this is a fictional show, but there's a show called Billions on Showtime, and at a certain point, there's a split up. There's a and the character, he's going to, you know, potentially lose a lot of money, and then they're only going to be left with, quote-unquote, $100 million or so, okay?
Yeah.
And the wife is like, oh, my God, how are we going to live with that, you know? And because they're billionaires, and this is what they've lived a certain amount, their life in a certain way for a certain amount of time.
Well, that's
and $100 million isn't enough anymore.
That's what lawyers use a lot of times in these cases. And a lot of times judges will say, you're living in this strata, and this is what you are accustomed to.
Interestingly, this trend of wanting more money held at all levels of wealth.
So if you're making $50,000 a year.
Yeah, or if you're making $50 million a year, it's not enough for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
The study leader says our results suggest the curve does not fully flatten out. The data also revealed that those who earn their fortune were happier than those who earned their fortune, okay, were happier than those who merely inherited it.
And I also think the people that earn their fortune, that's why they're so successful, is because they just keep trying. They're not going to get to, you know, $50 million and go, well, I'm going to stop here. They're going to keep going.
Yeah, we've talked about that. We've been like, dude, cashing in. Hawaii, here I come.
Yep.
Just going to. But apparently the type of people that earn that kind of money want to get more.
Right.
We had this talk. When you hit the billion mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough, you said.
I was happy.
Yeah.
But
I said, I just want one more thing. I want a Marshall speaker keychain.
Yes. And I'm still waiting on that for Christmas.
Right. Preston, did I send you that article? It was a couple of months ago about how people with billions of dollars actually manage and have their money. It's so foreign to me. Like, it's not like they can go to the bank and take out $1 billion in cash.
Yeah. They go to Coinstar.
They go to Coinstar and they dump it. Yeah. So you read the article, Steve.
You know how you have that jar of pennies by the door when you come in?
Yeah.
There's just filled with $100 bills.
There's my retirement plan. No, but it's really interesting to see how removed they are from their wealth and how they actually live on a day-to-day basis.
They have literally money managers, people who handle all that. That's why you'll have talking about Les Moonves recently. He was notorious for he'd leave a restaurant and never had money for the valets
because
he had no cash on him.
Yeah. Though. Is there a way to train yourself to kind of go back and kind of live your life as if like
you were a dolphin?
No.
Sure. Well, didn't Matthew McConaughey move into like a trailer? Remember when he did that?
Oh, you mean once you hit that level of success and then you tone it down for
like
a little
while. Now, I'm a homeowner and I went homeowner.
Like, are we getting an admission here? Go ahead,
gentlemen.
You're
today.
Homeowner.
Today is my 20th anniversary with the Preston
Institute. Oh, hey, let's hear it for Casey.
Yeah.
I got hired on my first official day was December 7th, 1998, and I was making a salary of $17,000.
Yeah.
$500 a year. Very content with that amount of money.
Right.
What do you make now?
Okay.
But things change.
I make that in one day, Preston.
Honestly, the story Billions is based on you.
I make $17,500 in one day.
No.
Listen, but you know, there's no way I could live off of that today. Now, no. I'm not living in my parents' attic, and I have a mortgage and all that sort of stuff, but. Could I go back and live my life and train myself to live without all the accoutrements
have you
that I have
today? Have you talked to a financial planner about retirement?
Yeah, my wife.
Okay, so it's a different thing. And my wife, my financial advisor is Bora. Preston, you had the same thing that you sit down and you talk to your financial planner because you do have to take these things into consideration.
Absolutely.
And they make you list what would you need?
Yeah.
And once you see it, my wife and I, we don't need a lot.
Yeah, no, literally, we sat down and asked the question. So,
what makes you happy?
Well, okay, when you retire, do you want a shore house?
Yeah.
Because if so,
a poly shore
need to get ready. Or education, or do you want to go back to school? Do you want to, do you want to join a country club? What are the things you want? Put them all on the list, and let's see what we need to do to get there. And that's what you have to discuss and find out.
So, that's why I find this interesting that people want that much more, if they're in the million range. Yeah. I don't know what level of, I think honestly, and my we plan on cutting costs by joining a cult.
It's a communal.
It's a communal thing. You're with friends.
Yeah.
You sell seeds at the airport.
Everybody chips in.
one in Oregon looked pretty nice. Honestly,
and their jumpsuits are lovely.
Yeah, everybody's dressed the same.
They also found that millionaires worth more than $7.6 million were found to be happier than those with about $1.2 million. Really?
Yeah.
Really? They have seven times as much money and they're happier.
I see that a lot of times, and maybe this is incorrect, but I people with excessive wealth or wealth, like maybe Kathy, people who have inherited it, that it causes sadness in a way. Or that people who have earned it feel more.
Yeah,
Or feel more deserving, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and I've talked about this before. You guys know I have a few friends that have a lot of money. One.
You clean their houses.
No, one inherited it.
Yeah.
And was sort of could have gone down the wrong path with
it. Right.
Fortunately, they did not.
Right.
And they have done something with their money, which is great because it was right where it could have gone very wrong. One that married into it, and then a friend of mine whose father has a lot of money. And to speak to that point, they're two completely separate people, but they earned their money and both of them in their field continue to work, and they're older, their kids are grown, but they are continuing to work and earn money. more money, even at the point where they could be retiring if they wanted to.
Sorry to jump in here, Nick, quickly, but is the driving force the need to make money or the driving force to feel that you're contributing?
I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. I think it's just something. It's just their personality. It's what they did, what they accomplished, and they're not finished accomplishing it, I guess.
I wonder if their work brings them happiness.
I'm sure. I think in the two people that I know, in both cases, both love what they do.
When you talk about, like, the super rich, you know, like the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts of the world, that when people interview them and they ask when they're the happiest, it's when they're giving back. It's when they're giving away all of their wealth. And so they've, I mean, that's, those are extreme examples for sure. But when they're altruistic with their money, I think that that's actually what brings them happiness at a certain point.
All right. Anyhow, if you...
Is that it for the noticer?
No.
We'll do one more.
Yeah, we'll do one more.
First there was penises. Then there was pause for thought.
Yeah.
What will be the third topic?
Food.
Food.
This is almost connoisseur range, but not quite.
Well, what is it?
Yeah, it's a noticer. I notice this. According to the year-end data from Grubhub, you guys ever use Grubhub?
I've used Grubhub. I am currently a caviar person.
Okay, that's delivery service as well?
Yes, same thing.
The food that experienced the biggest surge on the delivery platform this year was the bean burrito.
Really? My wife loves bean burritos.
There were some here yesterday.
I can't do it. I just can't. I've got to have...
It's like Victorian movies. You can't watch them.
I can't. Yeah. I can't get into it.
Bean burritos are the Victorian
Your nightmare movie. Is a Victorian movie about the invention of the bean burrito.
I don't mind beans in my burrito. I don't mind Victorians in my movie.
Come in here, Master Sheffield. I've delivered a new type of burrito to this.
You can't have them, huh?
No, I don't mind beans in my burrito, but my wife will get a black bean burrito, and that's like her go-to.
Yeah,
and I
like them.
I'm totally down with a black bean burrito. I love black bean soup. It's done right.
I won't just order a bean burrito, but if it...
You're not an animal.
No, please. let's have some civility here.
You're involved.
No, but I will have other things along with a bean burrito.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Oh, okay, what do you mean?
So there might be like some rice or, you know, another, a platter. Like I wouldn't just order a bean burrito by itself. There's got to be cheese in it as well. They used to have bean burritos at Taco Bell, just bean burritos.
Yeah, sure.
You could get those. So I would have those.
That'll blow out your O-ring.
And nothing wrong with that. Of the 10 items that surged the most, 5 of them were chicken based. Chickens.
Wait, what was that?
That was my best.
I'd like to purchase a chicken sandwich, but I want a stipulation that these are not talented at singing chickens.
Gene Simmons loves chickens. By the way, his mom died.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
It was. I'll get to that later on in music news. But she was a Holocaust survivor. She was. In a Nazi camp. About to play the chicken.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
All Holocaust survivors.
No.
F.U. as presented by chickens.
The story's amazing.
It is an amazing story, and I didn't know about.
That's why he's been such a strong supporter of things like the Holocaust Museum. He's proud of his heritage. He's been a... And his mom is just an incredible story. I'm sad for him for his loss.
Yeah, she was 14 when she was.
Really?
Put into a Nazi camp, and her mom was gassed.
Oh, she was in a documentary. I don't know if it was because if you've ever seen the movie Shoah, which is
what's it called?
Shoah. It's a 9-hour documentary about the Holocaust. And what it is it's interviews. Interviews at the time is done about 15, 20 years ago. So there's a fair amount that are still available.
Sure.
If you think Schindler's List presented horrific imagery, and you're not even seeing it, you're just hearing it recounted, you cannot believe how horrific it was for these people. Unbelievable. So that's sad.
Geddy Lee's mom and dad were in Dachau.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, both of them. It's pretty wild. There are some those stories are still out there. Like you said, a lot of those people have gone, but there's still a few that are around.
And it's important, like as with today being December 7th, you need to remember.
Of course, yeah, Pearl Harbor Day. So I will, I'll get to that in music news later on. I've got the full run now, but sad news for Gene Simmons, and we brought him up because chickens, exactly. So,
and Grubhub.
5 of the most surged items on Grubhub's list were chicken-based. Chicken sliders was 3rd. And Bill, I'm going out of order. You're going to love this.
Wow.
Chicken burritos.
God damn it.
Chicken burritos were 5th. Chicken sandwich was 6th. That's what Gene ordered.
Yeah.
And chicken and waffle slider was 8th. Parmesan chicken was 9th. These are the list.
So I had inconsistent service with Grubhub.
Okay.
I've had very consistent with Caviar, and it's just the same thing. It's just a more pompous name, I still have yet to figure out how these services make money.
Yeah.
Because from the couch tomato.
Yeah.
My usual takeout order that I used to get in Manayunk that they would deliver from Couch Tomato themselves, and it costs the same to get it through the service of Caviar delivered to my home, which is a couple miles from.
All right, how much do you tip them?
$5,100. No, I give them.
No, but he's talking about the how they make money.
Yeah, I know.
So,
and I don't get it.
I'm not sure. All right, anyhow, there were also two cauliflower dishes on the list. By the way, do you guys say cauliflower or cauliflower?
I say cauliflower.
I say cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
You guys?
Probably both.
Okay.
Cauliflower. Yeah, I'd probably say cauliflower.
The cauliflower rice bowl was 7th, and the buffalo cauliflower was 10th.
Buffalo? Where? From where?
Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Buffalo.
Okay. It's from Buffalo.
Right
there in the name. Where does Baked Alaska come from?
Remember that cauliflower, that grilled cauliflower we got at Charlie's in Orlando?
I do.
Out
Cedar Plank.
Standing.
It was.
Mm-hmm. What a romantic night.
It was very romantic.
We actually, there's a picture of us holding hands at the table. It was over Valentine's Day, I think.
Wait, didn't you say he was your partner?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because I had a call. I made reservations.
Right. That was at Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris. And I hear him on the, this is him making the reservation. Yeah, 7 o'clock. Two of us. Yep. Yeah, it's our anniversary. And I just, like, you just celebrated our anniversary. And here's what happened. So we're there, and we see another couple, and they have, like, rose petals on their table and all this stuff. What'd we get?
Nothing.
Squat.
Nothing. And nothing. It was our anniversary. Because they're homophobic down there in Orlando.
Yeah.
Not
in Orlando.
No.
But anyway, the other two items on the list, baby back pork ribs was 4th. And the poke bowl.
The poke bowl?
Poke. Poke.
I think you said poke bowl. I'm like, what the hell is that?
I like a poke bowl.
I had asked at a restaurant. I'm like, how exactly do you say this? And some, they said, everybody says
it
a little bit different.
Well, what is it? Some people say poke or pokey. I like a tuna poke bowl, and it's sushi.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, well, you can get salmon. You can get any raw fish, really.
Okay.
But tuna is my favorite. It's kind of like Japanese fare, but it's basically raw tuna served not in a sushi roll.
Yeah, Nick, it's like it's in a bowl or container. It would be safe to say it's like open-faced sushi, right?
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
They're opening a restaurant in Conshohocken, a poke bowl restaurant. Yeah.
What happened?
There's one in on Lancaster in, I think it's Ardmore, and it's the same company. They're opening one in Kanji.
Okay. Are the acai bowls still hot?
Do you know what happened, by the way? They're great. I love them. And we had a place come in, and they brought wonderful acai bowls, and it was delicious. But I happened to get some sort of, and it wasn't because of the bowl, but I got sick later on in the day, and so psychologically now I associate it with the bowl, which it's not.
Well, it might be.
But I know what's in an acai bowl that's going to make me sick.
Well, I don't know, but my cousin, I took him to have an acai bowl down the shore, and he reacted to it a little bit weird as well. You know, it just blew out his O-ring. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it just doesn't agree with you. Mm. But Kathy, I can make him at home now.
Yes, I make them at home as well.
Here, Steve, you wanted an answer about the food service, delivery services. I'm going to go to Jen, who works at a restaurant, can explain it. Hi, Jen, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, so can you explain how a restaurant they can pay this service and still make money, or how does this operate?
Yeah, so the way that it works, when the restaurant signs up to be part of that service, the Grubhub folks only pay 50% of the item cost, so that's how they're making the money. The customer pays full menu price, but Grubhub is only paying half price.
I don't quite follow.
How does Grubhub make money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they're making the money.
How do they make that money?
All right, thank you, Jen. Yeah, I'm going to go to somebody else who might.
What's on third?
I'm going to go to Daniel.
No, what's on third?
Is it Daniel or Danielle?
That's Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
How are you guys at work?
Hey, it's all right, bud. What's up?
So I've worked actually for a couple of those companies. What happens is that the company takes a certain percentage of each sale, and that's how they kind of make their money. So it'll take like 20% from each sale from the restaurant.
20% seems high, doesn't it?
The delivery fee. Grubhub or the company I used to work for, FoodCab, they charge a certain percentage for delivery fee. So if you have to go, certain mileage out of your way, the driver only still gets a flat fee, but the company still makes more on that delivery
All
service.
Right. I think what happens here is so for example, to have the added incentive for people to purchase their products, they make the deal with these delivery services, even though they may get a little bit less through that.
Correct,
but
yeah.
they can still present it as we have delivery service.
Yeah, let's say you order something from a restaurant, it costs $10.
Right.
It's still going to cost you $10 to go through Grubhub or whatever. The restaurant will actually pay them, if let's say it's 20%, $2 to do that. They're going to take a minor hit on that, but their product still goes out. And
they have loyal customers
not delivering it themselves, and that continues to grow the base. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Now I understand. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. All right. Interesting. That's all that I have time to notice for now. I don't have my
noticer is done.
Casey walked out.
Did someone go to take a dump?
No. He had to go hand something to
somebody. I had to go hand something to somebody.
So here's my noticer music. That now I'm done.
The noticer.
Yeah.
He notices everything so you don't have to.
Hey.
But now he goes sleepy.
I go sleeping time. Let's take a break and come back in a moment with the bizarre file. I've got, man, do I have some home run stories for you guys today. I got like three or four of them that I think you're absolutely going to love. We'll get to those in a moment. And we are also going to have Christina P. stopping by. She's going to be at Punchline. It'll be our first time hanging out with her. So that's coming up in a bit, and some stuff to give away too. We have our chance to win, of course. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
I'd like to mention this. We're always looking for Not Your Average listeners. I don't plug this enough, but from time to time, we'll have somebody stopping by that has a interesting story or an interesting aspect of their life, and or maybe a really cool job, whatever it may be. And it's a chance to win $250. It's a chance for you to just, you know, hear about some people in our community that are kind of cool and have something different to tell.
It could be everything from that to you have a medical anomaly or whatever.
Yeah,
we had a virgin once.
We had a virgin once. We had the guy that...
He wasn't. He was not not your average. They voted no on him.
He was like one of the rare no's.
Him and the stripper that had an alligator.
But we had him in.
I mean, we had him in.
We leave it up to the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of glad we're not at 100%.
We had two dudes who created their own language. They became Not Your Average Listeners.
That was actually one of my favorites. These two guys created their own language, and
their girlfriends were perplexed.
They were rolling their eyes. Yeah. It sounded so stupid, but at the same time,
it was engaging.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was trying to think of the last one, and I just remembered it was the guy who does his daughter's hair, learned how to do
it was very cool.
All those updos.
And then we had Petey from Del's Groove. Mm-hmm. She sings to people who are... Dying, essentially.
Yeah.
And so we have some really interesting stories. Is yours interesting? Contact us at listener@wmmr.com. And if you're selected to be in the studio, we'll have to hear your story and have the audience vote and determine if you get $250 cash prize courtesy of our friends at Primo Hoagies. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. So listener@wmmr.com. Let's get to the beef, Al, because I got great stories today.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're going to start with one about a woman who has gone off the deep end, and there's video proof of it. We were watching it this morning. A high school teacher in Central California was arrested on suspicion of felony child endangerment after forcibly cutting the hair of one of her students while singing the national anthem. Okay, so a woman named Margaret Geisinger was arrested after videos posted on social media showed a student at University Preparatory High School sitting in a chair at the front of the classroom as Geisinger cuts his hair. And in the video, the 52-year-old science and chemistry teacher is heard belting out the Star Spangled Banner while cutting chunks of the boy's hair and tossing them behind her. The circumstances of what led the teacher to cut the student's hair were not immediately known. I mean, she looks like she's having a psychotic episode.
Yeah, I think
if you watch the
like
video,
she went nutty.
She's having what appears to be a full-blown nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
After cutting the boy's hair, Geisinger grabs at a girl's long hair before the students make a run for it out of the classroom. You see everybody just run for the door. Officers responded to the high school after receiving reports of child endangerment involving a teacher and a pair of scissors. A spokesman for the Office of Education said counselors were made available to support students at the public high school. Geisinger will not return to her classroom, is what the statement said.
She did release a statement herself, Preston.
She was hired in August to teach at the high school part-time. Her teaching credential was suspended for 14 days in 2016 for, quote, immoral and or unprofessional conduct.
The hell is that?
Her teaching credential was also suspended for 2 weeks in 2017, but the commission does not list a reason. One of her students told the newspaper the incident was out of character for her. She said, when everything was going on, I was terrified, and I so badly wanted to blame her. She is a loving and kind lady. She's usually all smiles and laughs. This is not the Miss G that we know and love.
Well, maybe there's some sort of medical thing that she's unaware of, or...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it'd be very sad if she's... on the whole, a good person and just had a bad episode.
But
she, should... Are these scissors pressing? They're scissors, right?
Yeah, they're scissors. Okay. But the video, she just walked in. She said, it's haircut day. And then she started singing the national anthem very crazily.
What if she had started stabbing the kids with the scissors?
Exactly. She's being held on $100,000 bail, by the way. All right, here we go. A Missouri woman is jailed on a felony sexual abuse charge after allegedly trying to force a man to perform oral sex on her. Amy Nicole Perino, who, by the way, you need to see a picture of, was arrested Sunday night after she repeatedly punched the victim and struck him with a belt, a brass plate, and a cell phone. During the attack, Perino, who was naked, chased the man around the home before pushing him to the ground and sitting on top of him. Perched on the man's face, Perino allegedly directed him to, quote, and I paraphrase, eat my kitty.
Oh, wow.
Replace the other word, and she's... Okay, so the man told police that while Perino was on top of him, he was briefly unable to breathe and was scared to death because he's shoving that in his face.
Oh, my God. And I'm assuming it's a mess, right?
Wait till you see. Steve,
she's this. On my screen if you want to take a look, Steve.
Yeah, walk over there and take a look. The man told cops that he asked Perino to leave him alone. And he didn't want to do anything sexual with her, is what he said.
Walked off the set of the Warriors. I bet you that pee is an alley pee. It's a tomcat.
Cops noted that the victim had cuts on his arms and nose and red marks on his chest, which the
from a private part?
The man said resulted, Perino hitting him with the belt.
Jeez.
Perino and the victim lived together. She was charged Monday with sexual abuse and domestic assault, both felonies. She was also hit with a third charge after allegedly, smearing fecal matter on the cell walls and breaking a jailhouse phone.
Wow.
So she's locked up in lieu of $25,000 cash bail.
I was looking through her winter activities list, Preston.
Oh, were you really? Holiday activities. All right. Here's another one. A Tennessee man faces up to 3 years in prison for peeing on a Kellogg cereal conveyor belt at a Memphis facility.
And you can't do that, right?
News outlets report that 49-year-old... Yeah, you just get in trouble for it. 49-year-old Gregory Stanton pleaded guilty last month to tampering with consumer products. He was indicted by a grand jury in September.
Stanton, did you piss on that cereal conveyor belt?
Stanton worked for the plant in 2014 and posted a video online in 2016 of him urinating on the conveyor belt.
Look at this!
The video led the company to alert law enforcement and launch an investigation that involved the Food and Drug Administration.
Wow.
It's unclear what prompted him
to
pee on the line or to film and share the act. The company and workers union were involved in a labor dispute at the time. Stanton is set to be sentenced in February. All right, and we got another home run here. A man with a history of exposing himself in public was arrested after police found him pleasuring himself in front of women at a doctor's office.
Oh, man.
And his last name is Bates, by the way.
There you go.
Have a look at these.
Brian Bates was charged with criminal open lewdness for the incident. And officers went to the medical office for a report of a man exposing himself to patients. Now, listen to the description. Now, listen to this. Upon police arrival, officers found Bates in the bathroom with the door open while pleasuring himself and simultaneously attempting to penetrate his backside with the handle of the toilet bowl scrubber.
Oh, my God.
What? How's it going in there, buddy?
Oh, my God.
Trying to molest himself with the toilet bowl, with the toilet brush.
Bates was taken to the Newbridge Medical Center for evaluation after being booked at police headquarters.
Yeah, I think
I'm
coming down with the flu.
Different evaluation.
Yeah.
The New York resident has a string of arrests for similar acts dating back to at least 1997. He was seen exposing himself by young children at a Barnes & Noble in February 1998. In
December, toilet brush again?
In December 97, two women spotted Bates pleasuring himself at the bookstore. And police also said he exposed himself to a young girl at the same store in October 1997. Whoa. So he would go to Barnes & Noble and whip it out.
I used to work at a B. Dalton bookstore years. I don't even know if they're around anymore, but years ago, and they had a problem with dudes coming in. Yeah, they would take magazines off the magazine rack at the front of the store and go into the back areas and have their way. And it was always my joyful task to evict them from the
Wow. This store. Guy likes to get people to watch him do it, by the way.
All well, right. You know, honestly, I would pay to see that toilet brush. I mean, it's got to be pretty wild.
A little curious. Yeah.
I'm just curious what end.
Does brush go in first? No, or I don't think so. If you want to really clean that out.
It's ribbed for his pleasure.
Yeah.
All right,
it's
anyhow,
bristled.
That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Man, those are some home run stories. I got some more good ones. All right, we're going to take a break. We are going to come back, and we're going to have Christina P., who's going to be at Punchline this weekend. And I'm going to go watch the Avengers 4 trailer. I tried to watch it. I need to put some headphones on.
Yay! Boners!
When is that happening? When is that coming out?
May.
Yeah.
It's getting closer. I love it.
So it just in the first 40 seconds, it's Stark alone in a ship.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he's fidgeting with the Iron Man mask.
Yep.
And don't put it up. I don't want
to
see it.
Don't do that. He's trying to figure out a Rubik's Cube, right?
He's actually molesting himself with a toilet brush.
Oh, wow. That's a turn for the Avengers.
Pepper, you're not going to like what I'm doing.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Please stay with us. We shall return shortly.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Casey, on my prep sheet here, it says we're welcoming Christina P.
Yeah.
I can pronounce her last name.
Then go for it.
Pazitsky. Is that right? Am I wrong?
It's so close. It's Pazitsky.
Pazitsky.
But you wouldn't know that.
I like adding jit in there. That's terrible. Awesome. Thank you, Christina Pazitsky.
Yay!
Is here this morning. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
We're happy to have you. It's been a big year for you. I was just reading you and your husband, Tom Segura. You had a baby this year. It was your anniversary last month, right?
You really are good. First of all, Tommy says hi. He loves you guys so
much.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And yes, 10-year anniversary. I filmed the special, The Degenerates, 8 months pregnant in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
Which is horrible.
That's got to be, right?
And they don't allow smoking, right?
No. Oh, yeah, they do.
I know. They always get that sort of side deal that allows,
Yeah, how is that possible?
I don't know, but you go to the casinos, and whoever's palm is being greased, smoking just... When a place is dense with smoke, I actually start to feel like I'm getting acid reflux. It's horrible.
Yeah, but when you're talking, restaurants, right? Restaurants and bars, that's where it's banned mostly.
Yeah.
They don't have the millions and millions of dollars that, casinos have.
It's got to be it.
Well, it's weird because I used to smoke. I smoked for 17 years.
Oh, don't you miss it?
Did you quit cold turkey or how'd you do it?
No, I went to hypnotherapy.
Did you?
Or not, and it worked. And now I do get it though because I'm like, oh, look at that. You're so skinny. It looks good. Smells.
My wife says.
Really?
So she quit cold turkey, and she said if there were no medical detrimental aspects to it, she would love to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of a great habit in a lot of ways.
I was in Paris last month, a little more than a month ago, and everybody was smoking there.
Wow.
Everybody. Yeah. I bought a pack of cigarettes. I'm like, I have to. Yes, I did.
Really?
Just to be continental.
Well, no, I mean just to smoke it. But all the cigarettes there, all the packs of cigarettes there have pictures of what smoking can do to you, which is really bizarre, but it's totally not a deterrent. I'm like, all right, well, that's not going to be me.
Well, you know what's a deterrent is the cost.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Isn't it now $100 a carton?
It's up there.
It is.
Yeah, we had we did this for the smokeout. We had our resident hypnotherapist come in he's able to shut that switch off. He does the thing where he'll make you associate. His thing is to make you associate cigarettes with the smell of vomit.
Ooh, that's cray cray.
Did your hypnotherapy use negative?
No.
Okay.
Positive.
Really?
The suggestion was that I am now a non-smoker and that I drink water instead of smoking because I used to smoke before shows. That's how. Okay. you know, that's the habit.
Right.
So, no, I just replaced the habit with something positive.
Okay. It's always tough.
That's nasty. Vomit. Oh,
I know, it's vomit.
I don't like that.
But with in anything like that, when you're an entertainer, when you see, you know, when you're out and you're in clubs and it's all around. That's why you always hear about when rock stars are able to go be sober. Yeah. Their entire environment is one that's working against them.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, you look at somebody like Bernd Kreisler, who's the fattest, most racist Kreisler. Comedian working today.
He's racist.
Deeply.
I know. People don't give him enough credit for how racist he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a horrible person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see the weakness in him and how he gives in to all the vices presented.
Are you a little bitter at Bernd Kreisler for the reposting of your snoring video on Instagram last week? Which was great, by the way.
Wait, what was it?
All right, so here's the deal. Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, please,
because
tell the story.
Because there was a genesis.
Look how fat Bert is.
That's right where you're sitting right now.
Oh, I can smell the grease from when he was here. He's my godfather. Is he?
Yeah.
We had a quinceanera here, and he
had a what?
A quinceanera. It's the
quinceanera.
Yeah. Your pronunciation is perfect. Yeah,
whatever.
As an Angelino, I approve.
There you go, yes.
So, so he sat here.
He was the godfather. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. I love her. So, anyway, my husband was snoring.
We have the audio of it, by the way.
Oh, you do? I'd love for you to play it.
Well, here's the audio of Tom snoring. Yes, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, powerful. That's...
Do you deal with that every night?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I get the...
It's all growling.
Are you married?
Yeah.
It's the worst, right? It makes me want to kill myself, and then you have to go in the other room when it's just bad. So I was laying next to him. I took a video. I put it on Instagram, and I normally don't put him on blast like that, and then Bernd Kreisler got a hold of it.
Okay.
He posted it, and then Tom got me the next night snoring.
Oh, and then we have the audio of that?
Yours
looks
cuter.
Very quiet.
Yeah. Well, there's a build. There's a crescendo.
Let's hear it.
All right, so I'm looking at the audio file. It looks very low decibel-wise, but here we go. You can barely hear it at first.
I'm like a kitten. That's me. That's me.
No. That's nothing.
Yeah, look at him. So pleased with himself.
That's hard breathing.
All right, here we go. Listen. That's a snore.
Yeah. Well.
There you go.
That was a deep one.
That's a good one, too.
Tom.
Last one.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
What do you guys think?
I think Tom is like a wood chipper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you so it's the exact same situation with my wife and I.
Is that right?
You snore. And let me tell you something. It's like the devil himself has come into the room when she but she would never acknowledge it, and I haven't recorded it for fear I'd catch holy crap for that. So we actually sleep in separate bedrooms.
No,
that makes an incredible difference.
Yeah, we do too. No. My wife and I do too.
Yeah,
because of this.
Years.
Yeah. Well, that the hours, our hours or so. We have a good out for an excuse. Yeah. But my wife likes to sleep in the painted desert, and I like to sleep the way humans sleep, and with some level of coolness and dry.
No. Yeah. Thermostat has to be a balmy 74.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He hates it. My husband sleeps with a fan on him in the wintertime. I hate
That's
it.
That's us.
I do as well.
Ceiling fan on.
My wife has the TV on. She likes it warm. I like it dark and cold with a fan on.
TV off, dark, cold. No. Preston, we could be lovers.
No. Yeah, I know we should be.
We give you permission to sleep in separate bedrooms.
No.
No, it's not. We've been 21 years married and happily married. I love my wife to death. But honestly, it saved our marriage.
You'll love it.
Well, he has a thing, a mouth guard that was made by a dentist, actually, that works 90% of the time. And I don't know what happened that night.
So he's got some form of apnea, I guess.
Something. Yeah, I don't know. Weight doesn't help either.
He's heavier. He's not as fat as Bert.
Nobody's as fat as Bert.
Right, yeah.
But he's...
not nearly as racist.
No. Nobody's as racist as Bert. But how do you make marital loves, then?
You make date nights.
You make date nights. Yeah. You meet halfway in the house somewhere.
On the steps going up to... So,
don't you sleep together on the weekends?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Really? Yeah, we quit doing that, too.
Oh, you don't either?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. And then Kathy, I will sometimes check her ID.
Who are you?
Yeah, who the hell are you? But honestly, because I I feel like I'm dying. I need air circulating in the room.
Oh, no.
I had to convince her. She's on the third floor of an 1880 Victorian house. I said, we're going to put an air conditioning set up in your room because there's going to come a time in late August when I'm going to come up and find you dead. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need air. I love it. I like it.
Really?
Real balmy.
Under a blanket, too?
Oh, I love a down comforter. Oh, I like the 74. No. You guys would die in my hotel room. I wear flannel pajamas.
Oh, my God.
Because this is an Arctic blizzard for me. 75, wow. Flannel pajamas under the
But you're from Canada. Wow.
I was born in Canada, but yeah. I was raised in Los Angeles.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm used to that. You, too?
No, I just wanted to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Nick.
When Aretha Franklin passed away, I read about her hotel situation, and she's a diva, but her voice was everything. So it was literally like a jungle in her hotel room every time she traveled anywhere. It was high humidity, and the temperature, I'm not exaggerating, was around 80 or 82 every time that she went out.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. But people would come and meet with her in her hotel room and would be Shred instantly bullets. Uncomfortable.
You run a humidifier as well?
No. I don't do anything good for myself. I just think that's really, that's good. I'm going to start doing that, though.
Wow.
You could be a diva.
I could definitely know. This is so silly. She had some big knockers.
Yeah, yes, she did.
I loved her, but she also had the bumper crop of underarm fat. Oh.
Bat wings.
Bat wings. Bat wings.
Honestly, it would be.
But I mean, come on. She was an older
woman. What a tribute.
Woman.
I thought she was wearing a cape. Yeah.
That poor woman, when she passed away, God rest her soul. Yeah. And she was so talented.
And a legend.
And a legend. Yeah. And they could not post a decent photograph of her on social media. Yeah. Her knockers, they looked like they were full of frosting. Like, you could write happy birthday on a cake with those.
Right? You see? Oof, see what I'm talking about there?
Zoinks. Zoinks.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. That's not far off.
I got to give you, I watched your Netflix special that came out in 2017, and you have had, since then, had another child, but you were going on about boobies.
Yeah.
And how you don't have them anymore.
Oh, they're wrecked. It's done.
I don't think so, though.
Yeah. You want to come over? I'll show you what I'm working with.
Now, you don't.
It's a nightmare.
You think that having a baby did that to you?
I think it's the breastfeeding. No.
I've heard that from people who women who were very proud of their what they had before and blamed the breastfeeding for wrecking. And then others, though, walk away and say that after breastfeeding, they retained size.
That's not my case.
Okay.
I mean, I had huge ones before I had had babies, and now they're just like, ooh,
pancakes,
low hangers. Yeah.
Heavy hangers?
Do you have that problem, Kat? Did you have babies?
Well, I do have one, but he's adopted. But I have – I got to
Beautiful
watch you.
Beautiful, come on.
No, I know people who have gotten – they've gotten breast implants afterwards because it was so bad.
Yeah.
So even if they had larger breasts, they still got the implant to kind of hold them up and lift them up.
Would you do that?
I wouldn't get an implant. I'd get them lifted.
My wife got them lifted.
And?
Mm-hmm. Look phenomenal.
Yeah,
they're great.
I there I am. You know, there's my big hooters.
Oh my God, we're looking at a gift.
That's from the Degenerates.
The Degenerates, yeah.
It's the Prego boobs.
8 months
of Christina holding onto one boob.
And guys, grow up. Come
making
on.
A face that would sound like this.
So gross, you guys.
Wow.
I was you on video. Though.
How long have you guys been married for?
15 years for me.
21 for me.
And?
Coming up on 20 for me, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been with Tom for 14 years, 10 married, and we made sweet marital love the other night.
Really?
And then he rolls over and he goes, I didn't fart that whole time.
That whole time.
That whole time. And I go, you're not supposed to. And he goes, yeah, no. And he goes, yeah, but I had to, and I held it in. Are you proud of me?
Oh, my God.
I know. And I'm like, do you even see me as a woman? That's our 10 years.
So he, nice. So with that statement, you now realize he regularly passes gas while you guys are having sex.
Oh, are you kidding? While, during, after, before? You guys don't in front of your wife?
Oh, listen,
no, I do, but
all
I don't
the
remember,
time.
I don't remember doing it during the middle of coitus.
Right,
We blame it on a dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whenever we blame it on the ghost of a cat in the house. I think you and Tom, though, are that's you have that thing. And if you can have that thing with your, you know.
The thing where you fart?
Well, you can, yeah. the thing mm-hmm. where
yeah.
you fart.
Does your wife do it in front of you, Steve?
Yeah, she will do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, she would not admit that in public, but I'll admit it for her in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the only one in the world that I know that doesn't fart is Kathy.
Is me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How?
Really?
No.
She does.
What do you do?
I'm not going to talk about it on the radio.
Please talk about it on the radio. That's why I'm here. I'm an angel.
You can help me?
I'm a little brown angel.
It's like touched by an angel.
Touched by a smelly brown angel. Kathy, what do you do when you got to do that?
No, I'm just saying, everyone does.
Yeah. How do you fool your mate?
No, you don't.
She just said it.
You don't.
She fakes an orgasm.
What about number twos? Do you have a closed door policy?
She's never gone.
I don't. Yeah,
she
don't,
converts it to urine.
I don't do that either. Yes, close the door. What's your policy on that? Strangle you if you don't.
Close the door.
In terms of boundaries, that's the one boundary we've maintained.
Agreed.
Okay,
good. Agreed.
You see,
we could get along very well because that's exactly, I think that's a thing. No one needs to see that.
Well, no, it's nasty.
No.
It's nasty as hell.
How old is your oldest?
Three years almost.
Okay, well, get used to having an audience then.
Oh, no, the other day I was making a doot-doot with the toddler sitting on my lap.
Isn't that crazy?
I never did that.
Mm-hmm. Bonus points if you breastfeed at the same time. That's called the Milwaukee Milkshake.
The Milwaukee Milkshake.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, they've been watching me go, my kids, I'm not weird like that.
I thought you were going to say you set the boundaries with them, too, with the closed door.
No, they're the ones who set boundaries.
Well, how do you teach them? You have to show them, like, hey, this is how you do that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm scarring my kids.
No, I think it's honest. See, it's funny because I see parents my wife and I don't have kids, but you know, she's one of nine. But you'll see a parent just wipe snot off their kid's nose, start to gag at another kid's snot. So it's your own, right? Do you have? It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. I love cleaning my children's ears.
Really?
It's so gratifying.
Really?
It's so gross. Yeah. The gross stuff.
Do you Q-tip it or what do you do?
No, it's fingers.
Oh, my God.
No, what about when they're too young to blow their nose?
That was it for you?
That's
gnarly. Did I just...
No.
That doesn't make me sick, but that's just like...
I used
that. You get enjoyment out of that.
So good. You don't get any enjoyment out of your body stuff or other people's?
Some, but usually not others.
Can I tell you that, like, those pimple popping videos are
like
I don't like those. I
can't. Oh, you don't? Right,
but I hear people love it.
Yeah. There's a site that we can send you to that'll make you vomit. Now, Marissa, our back there, she is a fan of popping people's pimples.
Yeah.
She doesn't watch. Yeah, no.
She doesn't like watching the videos, but she gets some satisfaction out of popping someone else's.
Kathy had mentioned how kids can't blow their noses, and when they're babies, it's really gross. Like, you basically have to use like a little mini turkey baster.
Yes.
Just suck the snot.
All right, so I got one for you. Are you ready to vomit?
Yes.
All right, so this an old GM at one of the stations I worked at.
Dude.
It was a family thing. He was an Orthodox Jewish family. I don't know
You're
if that pertains
die.
To this. It was not uncommon for him to on the kid to stick his mouth over the kid's nose.
No.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like how you were like, it's a Jewish thing.
That's what he said. That's what he said it was. And I never heard that. So I don't know if he was just trying to use that as a deflection.
That the Jews are doing.
Orthodox. Now, it could have been a line of crap. But
that's gnarly.
It was very gnarly.
Have you ever done the nose Frida?
No.
What is that?
Oh, is that the hose?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't do that.
It's so much better than the bulb. The bulb's gross. It gets moldy. The Frida is like a tube, and then you suck the snot out of
it. Well, what's the difference?
There's a filter.
You're basically...
Supposedly nothing goes in your mouth, right?
No.
You've never tried
You're
it.
Siphoning snot?
Yes.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, you are.
I do this daily. No, just kidding. My baby's sick right now, so we've been doing that. I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you have baby with you?
No, at home with dad. Because did you know that men can watch children?
No. But you breastfeed, so I wasn't sure if you had a nice stockpile.
I got a stockpile, and then you can send your breast milk home via FedEx.
Really?
I have a box in my hotel, and it's got a freezer. It's amazing.
Wait, you can't? Why don't you just freeze it before you leave?
I did before I leave. Yeah.
And okay.
But then as I pop on the road,
there's only so much you could freeze, right? It's not like you have an industrial refrigerator at home.
No.
Yeah,
just regular
Yeah. No, but that stuff is gold. You know, you have to stockpile.
You can keep it in the freezer for a while. Yep. Can I want to ask you a non-bodily function question and more of a gossipy question.
Sure.
Your husband was in town not that long ago. He performed at the Merriam. And,
hey, Nick, before let me reset just so people tune in so they know who you're talking about. So it's Christina P. that is here, Pujitsky. Her husband is Tom Segura. I got it now. Right. Tom Segura is her husband. Okay, continue.
So Tom Segura is in a movie with Mark Wahlberg, Instant Family, and he told a story about that where he felt that Mark was very nice but a bit standoffish. Was that the impression that you got?
No.
Not at all?
He's probably the nicest, most professional,
that's what we got, too.
Yeah, like the most down-to-earth, huge movie star. Like when you meet people that are that famous and they're normal, you're like, how are you normal?
So do you think Tom was just telling story for comedic effect?
I think he was just being a jerk. No,
he was just being a jerk.
No, he wasn't saying, did he say that?
He said that they were never going to be friends, that Mark would not go get a beer with him.
I think he means that Mark is so famous and so above him in status. I think that's what he meant.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, who's friends with Tom Cruise or Mark Wahlberg? Like, you kind of have to be on that level,
I think,
right?
when you start working with people like that, you think that you might be in their circle.
I don't think Tom would think that, right? Do you think Tom would think that?
No, that's what I'm saying. He thinks of himself as like, there's no way I'm going to be friends with Mark Wahlberg. I'm a scumbag comedian.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Like, it is kind of cool, though.
It is cool. Yeah. It's amazing. My husband's like, that's his first movie, and it was like this huge Hollywood, you know, movie. It was crazy.
How does the podcast Your Mom's House how does that work for your marriage? is it like
it's the best
therapeutic?
It's the best.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why. Because we started the show when we were just two broke comics living in this hipster neighborhood. We had no money, and it's before kids, before the mortgage, before the dogs, before the careers, before anything. And so when we do the show, we step back into that world.
Yeah
So it's kind of like a, you know, we lock the kids out and all the responsibilities out, and we just talk about farting and whatever it else is going on that week.
You actually have you time, and you can also has there ever been, because I've heard a number of the episodes, has there ever been a time where you just said, okay, this is something I cannot say to you directly, so I'm going to save it for the podcast.
Complete opposite.
Really?
The podcast space is more silly fun, and then real is real.
Okay.
I mean, do you guys ever run into that too, where you're like, I just crossed the line. I'm going to catch something for that later.
I have.
I've definitely done. I've caught some, but we find this a lot of times we'll save it. Well, if we start talking about something, like that, we got to hold on to this and do it on the air. And to Casey's point, this radio show is very therapeutic to us. We open up about stuff here all the time that I probably wouldn't open up about elsewhere. For some reason, it's comforting. I don't know why.
Well, the time I took the dump on the side of the building, I had held on to that.
And we're back to it.
And I had held on to that little secret for a long time.
What are you talking about? You took a doot-doot on the side of the building?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was coming back. He was at what we have labeled a phase six, where there's no known force in the universe that can stop you from going.
And I was make it into the building.
I was driving home, and it was like a Saturday night. I was driving home from the city. And there was no way I was going to make it home, so I quick got off of the 76, and I'm like, okay, I can stop at work real quick. And then I even got into the parking lot, and there was no way I was going to make it to the fourth floor.
Wow.
So I had held on to that story for a long time, and then finally when I got to tell you guys, even though Kathy, you hate my guts for it,
Why do you don't like duty stories?
He was in front of the building where we work. I find it hard to believe that he couldn't make it in and to the bathroom on the second floor.
It wasn't in front. It was on the side. And, like, it's not like I wanted to do that, you know?
But we sort of know he sort of wanted to.
No, I didn't.
Now, what did you eat?
You agree? Oh, now it's
now
all clear
you get
to
it.
You.
I get it. Now, how did you clean up?
So I had a bunch of T-shirts in the back of my
Swag,
car.
Yeah, hilarious.
Sometimes you got to use it.
So the best part is one of those T-shirts I actually wore as underwear on the ride home from here because I had...
He fashioned a diaper out of a T-shirt.
Soiled his underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it was. And that's why, like, when Kathy gets mad at me, and there was a guy who emailed our boss saying, like, what he did was illegal. I'm like, Dick... I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. That was, it was like the lowest point in my life, right?
Are you married?
Yeah.
And did you tell your wife?
Three kids. I got home, and you know what?
her reaction.
Why are you wearing a t-shirt as a diaper?
Her reaction was like, I fell in love with her all over again because she goes, oh, baby, that's, I'm so sorry. Like, you
just
know,
hold
she,
one second.
Yeah, hold on.
I need a divorce lawyer.
She had like a ton of sympathy for me. So. Yeah. Kathy.
She is a special.
Yes, she,
special.
Woman.
I will bet you that Tom is the. There is a great scene in This Is 40, Judd Apatow's movie, which we're, with Paul Rudd on his back, where he's got a mirror trying to look at something in his butt.
Yep.
And his wife comes here. Can you take a look? And you know that. I mean, I know my wife has my back. And that alone is worth it. And I am sure you have that same situation.
Yeah listen.
It means a lot.
Tom and I are ride or die. Okay. Unless, of course, he were to murder a Starbucks barista for getting his order wrong.
Right.
Then I would turn him in immediately. Right. But you know what? I like, this is so nasty. I don't know. I think we try to have fun.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's so serious when you get married and have children and the whole thing. It's like, just be nice to each other.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to make things last. Because your looks are going to go. Everything's going to go.
Right.
You may as well just laugh. Yeah.
Sage advice.
Hey,
Thank you. I'm very smart.
We're gonna have to wrap this up shortly, and I don't want to let you get out of here without asking about you studying philosophy at Oxford University. What?
It's so lame. I feel like it's so useless.
Why?
I don't know. It's so embarrassing now. I'm a 42-year-old woman, and I'm like, what was I doing? What was I doing with my life?
But what were you doing with your life for attempting that? Or
I don't know.
I mean, that's ambitious. So
it is, yeah. It was a program. It was a study abroad program, clear.
Well,
yeah,
there you go. That's inducement.
Okay, so you weren't a student? I mean, you weren't enrolled at Oxford?
Well, it was like a study abroad.
Okay.
So I went to Keble College is the name of the college in Oxford. Oxford is made up of a bunch of different colleges.
Right, okay.
And it was amazing. Like, you actually read whole books. You read like two or three books. Oh, there's Kim Deal. You read two or three books a week. You write like 15-page papers and defend them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's so much work.
When you have a basis in philosophy like that, it's like getting an English degree where it's applicable to so many things in your life. Well, I think philosophy, a well-honed philosophy curriculum can benefit you throughout life.
Well, now I write really smart fart jokes.
Right. That's, there you go.
Yeah.
Did you study logic?
I did. I like logic.
If I could go back and take one class in college, it would be that.
Yeah.
Because it sets you up for arguments so well, and you figure out why other people are wrong when you're right.
Preston's writing that
I'm
down.
I'm writing down logic.
Logic.
Yeah.
All right. Study.
What was your American college?
University of San Francisco.
Okay.
I barely got into college. That's a thing. I barely got in.
When were you doing the road rules stuff?
In the 90s, I took a semester off in my junior year. Right around there.
What season?
Six, Australia. And it's like the real world, except they put
No, no, no. I was addicted to road rules. I preferred it way over real world.
Really?
But I lost interest around 1996, and I don't know how many seasons that was.
That's right. That was my year.
That was your no.
Yeah, right before.
Who was on the cast? Like what standout characters?
Sure. Piggy, remember her? She was
a saucy
person. Chadwick was doing backflips. Shane from
yes, you guys did. You did a drag show.
Yeah,
I remember that. And they were totally ball busting the backflip guy. Like, he was great at everything.
Yeah, I am 20 years old.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's you.
So skinny. Oh, I can't wait to get that skinny again. Well,
you do look really hot.
Thanks.
Is that pre or post Oxford?
Post.
Okay.
On MTV, you must have been crazy. The smartest person on the staff there.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just know I came back. I was chain smoking. I spent a year drinking beer. It was a good year.
I you and I are close to the same age. I'm a little bit older than you. So I look at that. I go, you know what? We probably would have been friends. We wouldn't have made out or anything like that. We definitely would have been friends in college.
You're a guy's girl. You have that, and my wife is the same way. I love that.
I'll tell you,
Kathy,
it's a blue collar thing. My dad was a forklift mechanic, so I grew up in like a mechanic shop every summer.
Wow,
I grew up listening to Stern and
yeah, of course,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to go back to Road Rules for a second
because,
like I said, I loved that show at that time. Percentage wise, what was fun versus pain in the ass?
All of it fun?
Yeah.
I would say 90% fun, 10% okay. production where they're like, hold on, we got to do this thing again.
Right.
And big deal.
But 90% fun.
It was, and back then, by the way, it was all frivolous. They weren't doing anything. They weren't casting lunatics and encouraging you to be mentally ill.
Massaging it. That's when it started to suck, as it did with the real world. Agreed. When people were coming in saying, I'm going to be the puck, or I'm going to be the, that's when it started to suck. It was still in its formative years, and that's when it was interesting.
Or when other reality shows started to surface, and as we've called it, sculpted reality, where the producers are going, okay, in this moment, you need to confront Fifi because she's blah, 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 so on.
Stupid.
And then they'll take clips of reactions that you're actually reacting to something else. You may have just been bored at that time, and they're reacting as if what they're telling you, and then they show the shot of you being bored means you're okay. on the road rules, it was just straight up.
Yeah, there's some Frankenbiting and some of that
stuff. There were
some
Frankenbiting?
Some, a lot. And back then, like I said, it was based on friendship. And it wasn't like, who's going to hook up? Who's going to punch each other out? It was just like a bunch of goofy kids having this adventure.
Did you do two seasons?
No, just one.
Just the one, okay.
And they do the challenges, is what they say.
Oh, okay.
They're called lifers, the people that are like 50 and like still doing it.
Got to do something.
Lifers. Yeah, they called me when I was like 26, and they're like, do you want to... I was like, I can buy a bicycle. I have $200.
Do you know that MTV now, or maybe you do, is that they've decided that they're going to, and I don't know how the hell they're going to do it, but they're going to start to replicate the programming of that time again, like the spring break programming.
Oh, that's fine.
But I wonder how, in this current environment, how are you going to get away with a lot of that stuff?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
They're going to have safe spaces where people can talk about their feelings.
Right, right. It'll be weird.
Oh, gosh.
But that's cool that you did that. I mean,
so cool.
You have had that opportunity.
I tell you, my life has been extraordinary that way. Like, just random fun things. I've been very lucky in a lot of ways. Like,
awesome.
Who gets to do that?
Yeah.
Crazy.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Christina is going to be at Punchline. You're just in town for one night.
I got a baby, man. I got to get home my baby.
You got to pump and dump.
Yeah. I got to pump.
There are two shows tonight, though. 7:30 show is sold out, so forget that. But 9:45, they have tickets available, so you can go to punchlinephilly.com.
A handful of tickets.
A handful.
Just a scoop.
Yeah.
Jump on it now.
She's doing breast-holding gestures as we speak, but it was... Lovely to meet you. Thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled to meet you guys.
Cool.
Thank you.
Good luck with your boobs.
Yeah,
Good luck farting, Kathy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, give some love to Christina Pajitsky. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get them a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick wanted to promote something real quick. Do that first.
Sorry. Did you guys know that Santa is coming to Wayne, Pennsylvania on Sunday?
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Yeah, it's Breakfast with Santa. It's at the Radnor Fire Company, which I think is where, Marissa, do you used to volunteer there? Or was that, she knows some. Anyway, Rodney Bird is our chief engineer, and Rodney does some work with the Radnor Fire Company. They're fantastic. It's this Sunday. Breakfast with Santa. It starts at 9 a.m. Pictures with Santa are $3. Adult tickets are $10. Children are $5. So all the information is on radnorfire.com, and we'll put it up on the community page as well. But swing by and support the Radnor Fire Company because they are great people.
And they do a good job there.
They really do.
We did the Easter Bunny there 1 year, and they did a nice job.
And that was the year that the Easter Bunny hid pork medallions, correct?
Thank you for bringing it back around. But hang on, Casey.
No, I'm going to be selling cell phones today outside of Dilworth Plaza.
You're going to be selling cell phones?
If you have someone come up to you who you believe to be a vagrant, it'll be, it'll be Casey talking about great phones.
From 12 to 2, just look for you know, a little chubby kid wearing sweatpants.
Hey, mister, can I talk to you?
Can I talk to you about Metro by T-Mobile? But they do have great products, and so just kind of look for me. That's what I'm going to be doing this afternoon.
But if maybe you might even sell the mayor on one.
Hey.
Yeah. Marissa, do you have a pork-related plug here, or what?
Beer.
I'm just trying to keep this alive.
I know. Beer, does that go with pork? They go well
of course
together.
It does, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be slinging Bud Lights at Urban Saloon on...
I love it there.
Yeah, on Sunday. So you should come for brunch, 1 to 3 before the game.
I'll be there.
Kathy is... She's a woman of her word.
Right,
when Marissa has an event,
definitely.
Kathy makes sure that she falsely claims she'll be there.
No, I'm not.
I couldn't get you to the one down the street
down
from your house.
Down the street from my house.
I'm not going to get you to the one down the street from my house.
Yeah, no.
But 1 to 3, Urban Saloon, Bud Light, and we're giving away Eagles tickets. So there you go.
Kathy would not attend a Marissa appearance in her own living room.
No, yes, I would. I had every intention of going.
Yeah.
But unless, I didn't.
But if she was serving pork, yes, she would be there. And then speaking of that.
Oh, hey,
yes.
Nice. We kept it alive, didn't we? Flawless. We kept the dream alive.
A pig farmer raising muscle-bound mutant pigs for the bacon market is selling their sperm on Facebook.
Did you see these things?
Yes, I did. No.
Muscular pigs?
Dude, they...
Look at these nipples, man. Look at this. I am a muscular pig. I am a muscle-bound pig.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, it was not! Oh, my God!
By the way, lately, Steve, we used to have this audio clip of this guy standing in front of a mirror. He thought he was God's gift to men because I believe he was gay and like a bear. And
yes, he was a bear.
He would work out and he would look at himself in the mirror and he'd go, oh, God, look at this massive man. And lately, out of nowhere, I don't know why, but out loud, I've just been saying, oh, God, just marveling over himself. Oh, God, look at this man. Massive man. That's what this looks like. So, anyhow.
All right, so, and what
all right,
what
so,
is this pig? What do they do to him?
The Cambodian
nothing, because it'll kill him.
The Cambodian-based breeder is flogging the semen, along with insemination kits to others looking to move into the Frankenswine market.
Did that before the pig made love to his wife.
Scientists in South Korea have been credited with originally... genetically engineering double muscle hogs to avert a future pork shortage crisis.
Did you see, so this all of this stuff to me? I wonder. I cannot see this being good in the long run. Saw the picture of that cow, right?
Yeah, the cow was a different story.
Was that just an anomaly?
Did you guys see the gigantic cow?
Yeah, he was in Australia.
It was like 6 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
The cow. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was gigantic.
It's unbelievable.
It's like big.
Billion. Muscular pigs.
Yeah.
Here you got to look at this muscular pig.
But anyhow,
there
so
we go.
They, what are you looking at?
Well, it's a different pig. That's a.
No, yeah. That's a cow.
That's a muscular.
Oh, that's a cow?
Look at that muscle. Look at those muscles, man, on this cow. Look at my teats.
All right, so.
Tug on those teats. They're like cables.
They carefully altered pig genes to create supersized swine capable of producing more meat than usual breeds. Farmyard footage shows similar porky monsters that look like they've been gorging on steroids or even pumping iron in the gym. The shocking image have been condemned by animal lovers.
Look at this chicken.
Who say the burly pigs are the stuff of nightmares. Now, years of crossbreeding has already created the enormous Belgian blue cattle.
Yes.
All right. But
enormous.
But this guy's team have bypassed this method, and they've created the bulked up pigs by tinkering with a myostatin gene.
All right.
This gene usually keeps the growth of muscle cells in check, but when it is altered, this does not happen, and the pig grows to more than twice its normal size. The genetic editing also produces a higher muscle mass, which means more meat is yielded, and it's also a lot less fatty. The guy, Kim, says his colleagues originally produced more than 30 piglets. Now, scientists insist... the mutation is safe.
Oh, right.
Because rather than transplanting genetic information from one species to another, they have simply edited genes.
Okay. Within the
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Within the same species.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And however, at the moment, no country allows its people to eat the genetically modified products, but they are working on it. But it's strange looking.
Come on, leave it in the pen. Leave it in the pen.
They look like they have been exercising. Their muscles really, are defined.
When they have a pose down, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, exactly. What was a clip you were going to play, Casey?
That's all, boo.
That's him all roided out.
So anyhow,
yeah,
I thought I'd bring that up because Hatfield brought in the pork this morning. But I have something completely different to mention.
Are you the... What are you?
I'm not.
You're just Preston Elliott right now.
I'm only wearing one hat per day, so I'm not going to beat somebody else. I just I thought this was an interesting story and one that we might be able to relate with. Multiple studies have shown that it is normal to feel hornier during the winter.
Okay, why?
So CDC data shows that more babies are born in July and August than any other months, which means people are getting busy in the winter. More so than any other time of the year.
Yeah. I think it's probably a natural. You're tending to cocoon more,
yeah,
and
you're
spoon
inside
more, and you're bundling up together, and
but you're inside.
You're inside. Yeah, yeah. You're not out and about doing your playing with your muscular pigs.
You've heard about like blizzard babies and stuff like that, right? You've ever heard about blizzard babies?
So I was born in June.
Yeah,
you know, so I definitely my parents had to get it on at some point.
So the fact that. Like when the Casey, the Eagles baby boom.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very, very cold around that time. So that added to it as well.
Very cold. People were also celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. Like so you put two of those together.
Yeah.
And you get a big boom. following suit, a 2017 study published in Scientific Reports looked at Google searches for sex-related word and phrases over the course of a decade, and they found spikes in these types of searches around the holidays as well. So what is it about winter? One study published in the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology...
Great magazine.
...found that the winter shifts in daylight length actually lead to a better environment for eggs in women.
Yeah.
And that men produce higher quality sperm during this time as well compared to during the summer.
Taste this. That's some of my winter brew.
So let me ask you.
This is higher quality.
Yeah, this is good.
I can taste that. It's
very eggnoggy.
Is it because in the winter months, I'm just going to move past that one. In the winter months, they are snugger?
Not to mention the colder months bring an inherent sense of closeness. What do you mean that
you're
more inclined
underwear.
To wear a snuggie?
Yeah, no, like you know, you're not. They're not all hanging loose in the summer.
Hanging loosey?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Sperm is actually produced more efficiently when it's cooler.
I don't know.
Yes, that's my understanding. That more robust sperm is produced from a cooler nutsack, Preston.
Okay,
I'm using all medical terms.
And these are like muscular sperm.
Muscular sperm, really
big ones. So
you know, my tail, man. Feel that tail. It's like rebar.
So they didn't indicate in this particular study, Nick, but they're saying yes, not to mention there's an inherent sense of closeness. Now, with that, I saw another study.
Well, you're a January baby, yes?
I am, so that means my parents were more...
Surfers.
Summertime, yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to do the math, but we're 9 months back.
It would be September.
January,
March, April,
May. Yeah, somewhere around there. So... there's a piece of data that emerged in a new study examining sex around the holidays, which found that nearly 3 in 4 Americans polled typically have sex on Christmas Day.
Huh.
Not only that, nearly half of the country already have it scheduled in their planner this Christmas Day. Like that is
really?
Like a tradition or that we're going to do
like the family wearing pajamas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like that.
I wonder, let's wear pajamas and then I'm going to plow your mother.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounded like the mother talking though.
We'll make sugar cookies. We'll wear the same pajamas and then I'll cornhole mommy.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of people out there try to plan on having a baby on a certain day.
I know that I know some couples I've known throughout my life have tried to hit target dates and target times.
Because I will say this and shut up ahead of time, guys. But the 4th of July is a great day to have a birthday. And if you want to plan on having a child, I think the 4th, and you're also not going to be pregnant all summer, which
sucks. I think anything that we've talked about this, any birthday that gets you away from traditional gift-giving days like Christmas or anything like that, I've met more kids and people who are less than thrilled that their birthday, those people tend to have half birthdays.
Well, you know what? Like Chuck's birthday is December 21st, right? That's 4 days before Christmas. My daughter's on the 12th, which she doesn't mind. But
does Chuck do the half your birthday?
No, he doesn't. But I wonder, as a child, as an adult, it doesn't matter as much. But as a child, you don't want your birthday overshadowed or
by Jesus.
By Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, you can't beat Jesus' birthday.
It's tough, man, when he's sharing your birthday. He'll always get dibs at Chuck E. Cheese. It's always part of the deal.
What's awesome about having a birthday on 4th of July?
All right, a couple of things. There's always something going on, all right?
And so it begins. And
you
so
asked for the
There's band. Always no, something going on.
Fish is a great band.
man, I swear to God, don't you dare go to sleep tonight, Preston.
He's going to kill me.
I'm not going to kill you, but you may wake up with one less testicle.
Okay.
So you never have to work on your birthday if you have like a typical like office job or whatever.
I think hitting a specific day is hard.
That's definitely a plus.
You never have school on your birthday.
That's a good one, too.
And the other thing is, and as a child.
Mattress sales.
I walked out of my house. Mattress sales, probably. when I walked out, everybody knew it was my birthday. Do you know what I mean? When you want, I really felt special on that day.
How did they know it?
Because it was the 4th of July. And so in my town, Rutledge, there was a big parade and they had big, game.
For your birthday?
No, but for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
For the 4th of July, it was, so there was a big community event. So everybody was outside doing the parade and then they had games for the kids and all that sort of stuff. So everybody knew it was my birthday. So I personally felt really special that day.
And while it is the birth of our nation, we must not forget it's also Casey's birthday here in Rutledge.
I just want to know if anybody else out there has a 4th of July birthday, if they felt the same way or maybe I was just...
My birthday is two weeks after yours, and I did not like having the summer birthday because I felt like I missed out on the school party. I felt, all the other kids...
Oh, really?
That when they had the birthdays during the regular school year, cupcakes and, parades. And
construction
whatever.
Paper crown.
Yeah, the whole nine. But in the summer, you don't get any of that. So I felt like I kind of missed out.
Yeah, never having to go to school on your birthday, I felt... supersedes bringing cupcakes on your birthday.
Okay. Well, anyhow, maybe people can check in about that. I'll continue with some of this other holiday sex survey that I have here. Yeah. So this was conducted, by the way, by Eden Fantasy. They also found that while sex over the holidays, while visiting family may be a bit tricky, it certainly doesn't stop that many people.
You're saying sex with your family?
Not with your family. You celebrate holidays with your family.
Aunt Rose, that was great. And your snickerdoodles were spot on this year.
Thank you, Aunt Rose. Really.
Nearly half of Americans in the survey say that they've had sex in their old childhood bedroom while visiting their family with a partner, and 39% have done the deed in a partner's childhood bedroom while visiting their family.
There is a great SNL bit about that. You remember the there was a music video that they did with the having sex in your childhood bed for the holidays.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I've done that. I've done at my wife's house or wife's parents' house back in the day.
I've had
and they're in town right now, probably listening. I didn't even think about that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
my wife and I. We're in my nephew's bed at my older brother's house, a little tiny kid bed. And that was a mathematical exercise there, trying to get that done.
One in four Americans say they've actually been walked in on by their parents or their partner's parents while engaged in some Christmas delight. One in four of the people surveyed. Wow.
This is the video playing up here, Preston.
What is this?
This is the video, the SNL video about having sex with your boyfriend in your childhood bed.
Okay. Which leads many Americans to have to get creative when the Yuletide spirit kicks in and venture to odd places to get busy with their partner while staying with family over the holidays. For example, one respondent ventured to an outdoor basketball court. Another creative individual resorted to having sex behind the family Christmas tree. While someone else admitted to actually sneaking on.
There's something behind the tree there. What is it, Ralphie? It's Aunt Rose and Uncle Lou.
I've never heard of anybody having sex behind the Christmas tree.
No.
Oh, yes, you did today.
Why is the angel shaking like that?
Yeah. And somebody else also admitted to actually sneaking onto the roof of the house. To have
on Christmas? Here's what I do.
There are warm places in the U.S.
Not on the roof.
My wife's, the whole family comes in, the extended family. But I put them up in hotels. So this way you can...
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, so that they're not spraying all sorts of biological matter on the back of my tree.
I'm going to go to...
That's That's why you do it.
That's exactly right. I want a clean tree.
I'm going to go to Heather, not a 4th of July baby, but around Christmas. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Rantlers.
Rantlers.
What's up, Heather?
What's happening?
You guys know me quite well. My birthday is on the 23rd of December, and even though I'm a Jew, I love having my birthday around Christmas.
Really?
It's the lights, everyone's in a good mood, and I don't know, it's just, it's an awesome time to have a birthday,
well,
you know?
So what about, are you having a good Hanukkah so far?
Absolutely. All right, Steve.
All right, so there we go. Okay, well then, yeah. I guess that is something to the same point. Somebody who's having their birthday around the holidays.
Yeah.
Everything's set up and displayed. Go ahead.
You know what might be kind of fun? Like Heather. Thank you, Heather, by the way. You know, you'd mentioned Hanukkah, which doesn't fall on specific dates of our calendar. Yeah. What about having a birthday near a floating holiday like Thanksgiving? Like every once birthday would fall on Thanksgiving. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think,
My nephew was born on Thanksgiving and then didn't have another Thanksgiving birthday until this year. Okay. And he just turned 17, yeah.
It took that many years for him to come around back on that date. Wow.
Don't quote me on that.
I wonder what the math is. No, it sounds like it might be about right. So that'd be kind of cool, I guess. You know, every now and then it lands right on that date.
What about if your birthday falls during Lobster Week?
That's amazing.
Or Toyota.
Toyota, which is always going on, you know.
Or the can-can sale.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Now, can-can.
There's our sing-along for the day.
Yep.
Let's get darker in here.
Let me get...
No, you see glaucoma.
Am I having a stroke? Nick has a brain tumor.
Oh, my God, I'm dying. Keep it together, McElwain. Keep it together.
Things get darker in here? Dark. Dark.
What? You got to go to heaven now, Nick.
I'm
too young. Oh, I still have more caps to wear.
I got a new one.
What would heaven sound like for Nick?
Nick, welcome to heaven. Up here, you can cut down all the trees you want for free.
Oh, and
24-hour buffet.
We've got Tonight would be playing constantly by Bob Seger.
It's on the soundtrack right here.
If there's a rock and roll heaven for Nick, you know Bob Seger's leading.
You guys want a party? Yeah, turn it up.
Turn this up for Nick.
Brought the wine.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyhow, back from Nick's sudden death.
Are we still talking about pork?
No. I'm gonna go to Tom. Birthday is around July 4th. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
I agree with Casey. My birthday's on the 5th, and there's always a party.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Sounds like you're one right now.
To be honest, I'd like to be the first to formally invite you to Casey's house for an extended party.
I'll be there.
All right. So I live in Villanova.
All right, but no, you've always enjoyed it, Tom?
Yeah, man. Delco.
All right.
Well, damn it.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, man. That was shocking.
This guy in my representation.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, Bill Burns, call in. Your birthday's on the 4th of July, and you wear a suit to work.
You're not from Delco.
You're not from Delco. Please call in.
Hey, but he was on the 5th. He wasn't technically on.
You're right.
You're the 4th.
All right. I'm going to go to Sharon next. Hi, Sharon. Sharon,
hey,
are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up, Sharon?
Not much. I just, I don't know how to follow that last guy.
You're
just drinking it in.
No, my birthday is the 26th, and I've always enjoyed it, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of cool. It's festive. Everybody's around, and everybody tends to remember my birthday because it's at Christmas time. I tend to get presents, and you know what I mean? And
forget
in the middle of the year.
Do you feel that you get slighted, perhaps, on your present yield because you're close to a gift-giving holiday?
Nope, not at all.
All right.
I think I reap the benefits a little better because everybody remembers. A lot of people are busy in September and they don't think about your birthday.
All right. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, Steve? I know you've mentioned that before. My sister's birthday is coming up. It's on the 21st. And it's, you know, usually the same week of, it is the same week of Christmas because it's always on the 25th. But She never, there was never a slighting for the birthday. Always,
I'm glad to hear
always
that.
Always got a good haul, so I think everybody's, you know, cognizant of that.
Your sister's the same birthday as Chuck D'Amico's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, well, cool, now man. You'll never forget Chuck D'Amico's birthday.
That's true. That's true.
Yes, he will.
No, actually, my sister's birthday I always remember, but I might forget that it's Chuck's, yes. Let me go to Corey. Hi, Corey. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
Hey, yeah, like, my birthday's on Thanksgiving, so, I mean, it's kind of cool. It happens every 7 years, but, like, it happened on Thanksgiving this last year, being the 22nd, but it also kind of sucks, I gotta admit.
How so?
Because, like, you know, when your birthday's on Thanksgiving, everyone's like, oh, like, okay, like, they kind of forget it a little bit. You
yeah.
know, everyone's worried about pie, you know, turkey, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, what do we get them for?
I don't have time for your birthday. I'm thinking about pie.
Yeah, exactly. The pie.
Come again?
But then they're like, okay, well, how about this? We just skip your birthday, and we just, like, get you your gift for, like, Christmas and make it one big Christmas present.
That's when you say, how about you skip the goddamn pie and celebrate my birthday?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, something to be thankful for.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
I'd be thankful for people who appreciated my birthday.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it. I'll go to one more, then we got to take a break. I have Devin. Hi, Devin. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Devin?
Good. So my son's birthday is January 2nd.
Uh-huh.
So his every year that he was in school, he always had to go back to school on his birthday after the Christmas break.
That would so that's a sucky day when you're still in school.
Absolutely, yeah. So this January, he's going to be 18, so he's almost done. But it was always tough after Christmas, having to get presents. And I always tried to keep them separate. I never wanted to combine them like Christmas. So in birthday parties, forget it.
I want to back up a second because Casey also said that it would, you know, that you don't have to go to school on your birthday. But when you're in, like, grade school and stuff like that, it's... I always thought it was cool to have your birthday at school. Everybody knows
what
it's
Nick
your
was
birthday.
Saying,
you see, well, my son Cameron was different. He wasn't really a social butterfly.
Okay.
So he would rather be home and not really be at school and not have people making a big deal of it.
All right.
So, yeah, he was the opposite of that. But,
interesting.
Yeah.
So, I have a summer birthday, and I never got to celebrate my birthday in school. And back when I was in grade school, I mean, now they do, because Jace has a summer birthday, too. Now they'll do it at the end of the year. So
yeah, they'll have
kid,
one day for every kid that has a summer birthday.
Right.
They just have, like, a, you know, bring cupcakes type thing.
I never got to do that, and I always hated that. Like, I always wanted to be able to celebrate my birthday in school and bring the cupcakes in and all of that.
I got the special. I remember I was in a number of schools because they kept zoning the district.
Yeah.
So I went to so many freaking schools over the course of my life. But it's kind of cool to have your... I remember getting a construction paper crown.
Oh, yeah,
I would get ice cream at the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was at college at the time. But
line leader.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special gentleman in the study hall.
It's my birthday.
I'm not
a social butterfly.
Well, anyhow, all kinds of things happen around the holidays, and apparently we'll double back to the study that that sex on Christmas Day is quite popular in our country. So if you've never done it before, maybe try it out this time of year, right behind the tree, like that one couple did.
Grab onto the pickle.
All right, we need to take a break, but not before we give away some beer. Our beer of the month is the Yards Variety Pack, and I'll take caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. The holidays are, of course, a time to get together with family and friends, and this year, bring cheer, bring beer. Bring a Yards Variety Pack, and you can find Yards at Springfield Beer Distributor in Philadelphia. We'll take a break, come back in a second, and we'll dive into that bizarre file. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Thursday, December 20th at the brand new Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast with 250 super fans in the audience, each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year, plus a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers.
Longwood Gardens, Steven Star Restaurants, and Stock Car Racing Experience.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition at Parks Casino. Get lucky in no time. Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
I want to do a quick giveaway for the Christmas Miracle.
Yeah. Christmas Miracle!
Yeah!
Yeah! Woohoo!
It is coming up on the 20th, and we're headed to Parks Casino, and it will be in the new Excite Center, and you have to be at least 21, and you've got to be a fan of the President Steve Show. You have no hope of winning anything at all. But if you are that person, keep in mind you have to have Thursday, December 20th available that whole morning. And if somebody comes along with you, which you're allowed to bring a guest, they can't play. You can. Okay. So it's a contest that we do. We draw from the audience. So we'll take five callers, 215-263-WMMR, and we'll set you up for that event. We love it. It's a lot of great prizes. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware. With thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly, Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, a school's clairvoyant night was canceled this week due to unforeseen circumstances.
There you go.
You see, they can tell the future.
Which makes it ironic.
It makes it ironic, but that's what they posted. It sparked an inevitable onslaught of Twitter snark. One responded by saying, surely those circumstances could have been predicted.
It's a terrible joke.
Several other parents claimed to have received refunds several weeks ago.
What is clairvoyant night?
Irvine Royal Academy announced on Twitter that the clairvoyant night on December 3rd had been canceled and invited parents to phone the school for the refunds. You know what? I don't know, Steve. I guess it's a get-together of people who feel that they can...
They have second sight or something?
Yeah, right. I'm not really sure.
They didn't sell any tickets. Because they all knew it wasn't going to happen.
Hey!
Didn't mean for that.
Kind of slipped right out there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oops. It happens, guys.
Oopsie.
Very rarely.
That should be allowed. It's okay. Not even that bad.
Honestly, it should be.
They say it on TV now.
All the time.
If you don't understand what
it was
just happened.
Really innocent.
I dumped out on it, but Casey made a joke, and I told him that, you know, the joke didn't really count because of something I said earlier in the story, and he just blatantly, very casually dropped an S-bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Oops.
it was beautiful.
Thank you.
I loved it. All right, so moving on. Finally allowed to leave Youngstown State University because of a lockdown, Chelsea Raymer, a student, left to discover a parking ticket on her car outside of the Williamson College business. She said, my friends and I were joking during the lockdown that we hope we don't get a ticket. She said, we never thought they'd give a ticket, but I went to my car and there was a ticket. Man, campus police are ruthless.
Unbelievable.
They will. Brief time going to college... They were, the most hard-nosed parking authorities you have ever seen in your life.
The second you were like a minute over.
Yep. A court spokesman said that the court received several complaints from people who received tickets Monday saying that they were issued during the time that they were not allowed to leave. The lockdown occurred after there was a report of a man with a gun on campus. A man surrendered to police, ending the lockdown. Raymer, who graduates in a couple of weeks, said she was shocked to get a parking ticket. It was issued at 12:45 p.m., almost 90 minutes after the lockdown started and about 20 minutes before it was lifted. Her class was scheduled to end at 2:15, which would have given her enough time in the meter to avoid the ticket. So
I went to a school where they would boot the car within like 2 minutes.
No kidding, yeah. Man. They will.
They were
it.
Boot crazy.
Yeah. Gorillas at a zoo in England have demonstrated a distinctly human trait while attempting to solve a new puzzle game, and that trait is cheating.
Ah.
The gorillas were presented with a wall-mounted device where the aim is to guide a peanut through a series of obstacles by poking a stick through various holes to move it along. Well, eventually, the peanut reaches the bottom of the device and drops out. Some gorillas, however, figured out an easier way to retrieve the nut. They said, we've seen a lot of cheating behavior where they've been putting their lips up against the device and sucking the nut, which was not how we intended.
The old sucking the nut ploy.
The device to be used. But it just shows you that they're very flexible. They're capable of creating new solving strategies to access food.
Pongo, it's easy if you just suck the nut.
They have some... fascinating problem-solving abilities that have probably not been witnessed since this first being introduced to the prototype device earlier this year.
They're amazing.
The scientists say that the game has proven a hit with a troop of endangered Western lowland gorillas who regularly return to play with the game even when there are no more nuts to win.
There is a special Sunday night on Nat Geo called Gorillas Nature's Nut Suckers.
Oh. Gorillas, colon.
Yeah, or, nature's nutsuckers.
Nutsuckers.
The okay. Colon episode is the follow-up.
Oh, okay. They're just dealing with the nuts right now. All right. We have to wrap it up. I'm sorry. We have more stories, but time-wise, we have to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment, and when we do return, we'll have a lesson question. We'll see if you've been paying attention. We'll get trash and music news. We have those Grammy nominations to run by you during that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
Yeah, and we have a Ghost Weekend here on MMR, too. So we have tickets to see Ghost Tuesday, December 11th at the Tower. And all winners will qualify for a grand prize. And that is a chance to tour the Ghost stage set up with your personal guide, Tobias Forge.
Ooh.
Along with a photo on the stage and a ticket upgrade to the pit. Pretty sweet deal. Five chances to qualify each day this weekend. Some tickets remain for that show, and Tobias is stopping by sometime next week, so it should be pretty cool to talk to this guy. I mean, the band's on fire, and in fact, nominated for some Grammys, which I'll get to in a little bit.
It kind of came out of nowhere, and then, people are huge fans.
Yeah, they've been around for a little while. They you know, at first it was like, you know, you saw the pictures, you're like, what's that all about? And yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, people are really digging the music. It's legit, and they're having a...
That's what it's about.
That's about what?
You crazy head.
Yes. So they're doing well.
Yes, they are.
We'll mention that in the Grammys rundown a little bit. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do today's lesson question, we're going to give away a pair of tickets. It's Penn State and Princeton, the 6th annual Philadelphia College Hockey Face-Off, Wells Fargo Center on the 15th. And you can win tickets to this if you can tell me what family member Steve had sex with. 215-263-WMMR. All right, if you were listening and you know, what family member did Steve have sex with? 215-263-WMMR. You call right now. Why don't you?
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And so, Steve Morrison, what stories do you have for us today?
Well, Lance Armstrong revealing in a Today Show interview that he's furious with Alex Rodriguez because he's all but been forgiven for essentially cheating while he has not. A-Rod says he can't understand the diss, especially since when he and Armstrong are together, he always has a ball.
Ah. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Have to go to the ball joke. John Gosselin in the news out of the blue. Winning a big custody battle with his ex-wife, Kate, and gaining temporary custody of their son, Colin. Apparently, the judge ruled that Colin needed a strong male figure in his life and hopes John might know one.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Priyanka Chopra beginning the conversion to her new married name online, starting with social media. Yesterday, the Indian beauty changed her Instagram tag to her full name, Priyanka Karate Chopra Meatloaf Jonas.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we shall see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What family member did Steve have sex with? It is Anthony that I'm going to go to. Yo, Anthony, what's up, dude?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you know what family member Steve had sex with?
I do. It was Aunt Rose and Snickerdoodles.
Yep, Aunt Rose and Snickerdoodles. Spot on. Hang on just a moment. Anthony, we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Penn State face Ivy League.
In my time of mourning, this comes as welcome music.
The Princeton Tigers for the 6th annual Philadelphia College Hockey Face-Off at Wells Fargo Center on Saturday, December 15th, 7:30. Tickets start at $20 and Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com. I'll get to the Gene Simmons news as well, but let's do this.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah. All right, this morning it's sponsored by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Well, we have a list of the 61st Annual Grammy Awards nominations. The show will air Sunday, February 10th at 8 p.m. On CBS. Is that an hour earlier than usual?
No, that's about right.
I thought they were going to start showing them earlier. I thought that was early. Maybe that's
That was the Oscars.
All right, so I'll lead with this. I'm not going to go through every single category. There's a lot that really don't pertain to us here in the MMR world. But Record of the Year, are the nominees are as follows. I Like It by Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin. And by the way, I will mess up a lot of these names because a lot of these groups I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have The Joke by Brandi Carlile. This Is America by Childish Gambino. God's Plan by Drake. Shallow by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Wow.
Bradley Cooper is up for a Grammy. Dude, he could be an EGOT winner. He could
be an EGOT winner. Yeah, absolutely.
At some point, he could get all of those if he continues.
We were talking about this last night.
Yeah. I was going to say, did he bring it up?
He did bring it
up.
Wow. Yeah. He was very excited.
All he's got to do is some great TV and some stage shows. If he wins one of these, he's in. All the Stars by Kendrick Lamar and SZA. Did I get that right?
Yeah, SZA.
All right, Rockstar by Post Malone featuring 21 Savage. And The Middle by Zed, Maren Morris, and Gray. Album of the Year, Invasion of Privacy by Cardi B. By the Way, I Will Forgive You by Brandi Carlile. Scorpion by Drake. Her by Her. Is it H-E-R by H-E-R or is it Her?
Go with Her.
I don't know.
Let's go with Her.
It's Her by Him.
Because I have people who in the past that didn't know R.E.M. was R.E.M. and called it
Ram.
Ram. Beer Bongs and Bentleys by Post Malone.
She got beautiful boobies.
Is up for Album of the Year. And Dirty Computer by Janelle Monáe.
Actually been listening to that last couple
What do you
of
think
days.
Of it?
It's not bad. It's
I like
not,
her.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I mean, first of all, I am physically attracted to her. I think she's just a beautiful, beautiful human being.
I agree.
And then NPR listed, they had like a top 100 albums of the year. And like
top 100 albums of the year.
I swear to God. There were like 90 artists that I had never heard of.
It's NPR.
But hers was the number one. So
there
I was like,
go.
All right, well, let me take a listen. It's not too bad.
Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves and Black Panther, the album, music from and inspired by various artists. That's up for Album of the Year.
So Black Panther, well, no acting so far,
yeah.
Right? No nominees for acting.
But no.
All right, so suppose that wins Album of the Year. Who comes up on stage?
I don't know. Black Panther himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
Comes up in the costume.
Yeah.
So cool.
Oh, my God.
This is quite an honor.
Song of the Year, All the Stars by Kendrick Lamar, and says Booed Up by Ella Mai. God's Plan by Drake, In My Blood from Shawn Mendes, The Joke from Brandi Carlile, The Middle from Zed, Maren, Morris, and Gray, Shallow from Lady Gaga, and Bradley Cooper up for Song of the Year. And This Is America from Childish Gambino. Now, best new artist.
All right, let's see what this is all about.
We got one in this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Chloe X Halle.
That's not ours.
Luke Combs. Greta Van Fleet.
There you go.
We got one. Her Dua Lipa. No, Dua Lipa. Margot Price.
Poopy Doopy.
BB Rexha. Jorja Smith.
Shma Shma.
Yeah, Shma Shma and Shma. Snickerdoodle, which I just love saying, and you said it earlier today. All right, let me get on to the category, because there's best pop solo. Now we get into the pop categories. Let's just go to the rock performances. Best rock performance, 4 out of 5 from Arctic Monkeys, When Bad Does Good from Chris Cornell, Made in America by The Fever 333, or 333, I don't know.
Or Deadmau5.
No. Highway Tune from Greta Van Fleet and Uncomfortable from Hailstorm.
Interesting.
Best Mental Performance. Condemned to the Gallows by Between the Buried and Me.
Who do you call it? Matt O'Donnell was the first I had ever heard of that band. He loves those guys.
Honeycomb from Def Haven. Electric Messiah from High on Fire. Betrayer from Trivium and On My Teeth from Under Oath. Best Rock Song. Black Smoke Rising from Greta Van Fleet. Jumpsuit from 21 Pilots. Mantra from Bring Me the Horizon. Mass Seduction from St. Vincent. And Rats from Ghost.
Rats.
Is up for Best Song. Best Album, Rainier Fog from Alice in Chains. Mania from Fall Out Boy. Prequel from Ghost.
Interesting.
From the Fires from Greta Van Fleet. And Pacific Daydream from Weezer.
Well, there's a little bit of life there for rock.
Yeah, a little bit of life.
I just like how, I don't know why 21 Pilots is, and maybe I got to listen to that album, but I thought they were an alt band. I don't know where they get off being in the rock category.
Where do you get off?
Where do you?
I don't see an alternative rock category, Case. Is there an alternative rock
cookies.
Category?
Yeah. There was earlier.
On here?
Yeah. Right here. That's
his lunch menu.
Best alternative music album.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have Arctic Monkeys, Beck, Bjork, David Byrne, and St. Vincent.
All right.
That are up for those. So, yeah, I did miss that case. But St. Vincent is also up for Best Rock Song. So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's all subjective. Don't really know.
Anyhow, I do like the Grammys, though. I always like that they favor performances.
Yeah. Yeah, and they pair up people who normally don't get together. I love that stuff. So that is February 10th, 8 p.m. on CBS. So those are your Grammy nominations.
They had they were supposed to have Tekashi 69 with Reba McEntire.
Wow.
I think is going to be really good.
How could you not watch that?
You look so weird. You look stupid. You got chalk on your face.
Here, let me get say she went through thumb. That, yeah.
Little stars and things.
Face right there.
You look like an idiot.
We mentioned this earlier. Jean Simmons' mother, Flora Florence Klein, has died. She was 92 years old. Simmons' wife, Shannon Tweed, announced the news on her Facebook page, posting a tribute saying, "Rest in peace, my dear Flora. The best grandma and mother-in-law I could ask for. You were loved and you will be missed." Simmons posted a message on his Instagram featuring a photo of him as a child with his mother, stating, "The best mother in the world." Paul Stanley, who knew Flora going on 50 years, tweeted, "Jean's mother, Florence, has passed away. I knew her as long as I've known Jean. Beyond her fierce love and pride in her only child, she was his inspiration to live up to being worthy of the sacrifices she made in a very difficult and, at times, horrific life. A Holocaust survivor, she fought for all she had, and her fierce protection and pride in Jean made her someone to be feared, admired, and loved. I will miss her laugh and smile. Let us all say a prayer for her, Jean, and his family." Earlier this year, Jean had shared the story of his mother. He had stated in this interview with the Sydney Morning Herald, "My 92-year-old mother, Flora Klein, is my hero. Said she was sent to Nazi concentration camp at the age of 14 and survived, but all the members of her family were wiped out. She saw her mother walk into a gas chamber.
Unbelievable.
Despite the tragedy, she is a positive person who sees the goodness in people's hearts. I wouldn't be that forgiving if I had lived her life. She raised me as a single mother in Israel. I was an only child. My father abandoned us when I was six. Mom had relatives living in America, and so we relocated there for a better life when I was eight." I didn't know this about Gene.
Yeah, I did know that part.
He went on to say, "When we arrived in America, neither of us could speak a word of English. My mother worked in a factory that was like a sweatshop, 6 days a week, no lunch breaks, and there was no minimum wage. She was a button and buttonhole worker, handling 1,000 coats a day. She made a half a penny for every button sewed." Simmons, who would support his father financially, never crossed paths with him again. He said, "My father was her one true love. She went to Israel 25 times to visit him, even though he was a scoundrel who had remarried. I later found out that he had 5 half-brothers from my father's 5 other marriages. He died in his early 80s, and at that time he was living with a 35-year-old woman. He was who he was to the end." So I didn't know that about him.
"My name is Janine. I'm your sister." Really? I don't see the resemblance.
Long lost family members that he had never met before.
Janine.
That's your name?
Yes.
Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure too.
You have very large hands.
Big and beefy.
Yeah.
Though I am a chicken fan.
That's right. Well, that runs in the family. A couple more quick things. I mentioned Greta Van Fleet being nominated for Grammys. They have actually set a new airplay record on Canadian radio.
Canadian radio.
Yeah, the band's current single. Listen
Our
to this.
Our Neighbors to the South.
No, it's the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
The band's current single, When the Curtain Falls, has spent 13 weeks at number one on rock radio in the Great White North, following similar stretches in the top spot by previous singles Highway Tune and Safari Song. The 3 tracks combined have kept Greta Van Fleet at number one on the Canadian airwaves. Listen to this, for a total of 27 weeks this year.
Whoa.
That is massive.
That is massive.
Absolutely huge.
When we were in London.
Half the year.
Yeah, they had, remember that huge billboard they had? The Greta Van Fleet billboard?
And by the way, that breaks a calendar year record previously shared by the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Pearl Jam. So they're very, very popular in Canada. Greta Van Fleet will finish up its 2018 touring with multi-night stints in Chicago and Detroit. That doesn't surprise me. Canada has produced some really, really great rock artists throughout the years, and they continue to embrace the music, which is really cool. I like to hear that. One last thing. Let's end with this one. Guns N' Roses are rumored to have recorded a cover version of T-Rex's Children of the Revolution for an upcoming album paying tribute to the band and its late frontman, Mark Bolan. The set will be a companion piece to a T-Rex documentary due out next year and will also reportedly feature covers by U2, Foo Fighters, Elton John, Perry Farrell, and more. I'm interested to see this because I don't know what the big deal about T-Rex was. I wasn't there to live through it. I know a couple of songs and that's it. But at the time, the other bands loved
them. They were considered seminal.
Yeah.
I'm sort of in the same camp you are. Yeah. I appreciate that they obviously had this impact.
Yeah.
But they don't do a lot for me.
But that's why I'd like to see the documentary and find out what the big deal was. So if the reports about the Guns N' Roses cover are true, it'll be the first new recording to feature Axl, Slash, and Duff.
Needs more chicken.
Since 1993. Needs more chicken?
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, it's a classic song, obviously.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yes.
And T-Rex is mentioned in All the Young Dudes, you know? And,
yeah.
So there's a lot of appreciation for the band, especially in the... and the English music.
Yes. Song.
All right, and there you go. So I got for you music news. Let's take a break. Do I have any movie passes left? Because if
no, those are all
those
gone.
Those are gone. Okay.
Those are all gone.
I can give something else away, though?
Yeah.
Some more beer?
Brewskis.
All right, I have Yards Variety Pack, caller number 18. You get it if you're at least 21 years of age. 215-263-WMMR is the number. The holidays are time to get together with family and friends. This year, bring cheer, bring beer. Bring a Yards Variety Pack. You can find Yards at... is it Javi's Beverage in Philadelphia?
JV's?
JV's? I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but find it there. Caller 18, you get the beer. We'll be back in just a moment to give away our Word of the Week prize. Don't stray far.
93.3 WMMR.
Online.
On
demand. And on
the air. Including our digital HD signal. The best sounding MMR there is. WMMR HD. And HD2. The MM Archives channel.
At 10:38 with the President Steve Show on a Friday morning. Enjoying today's day. Enjoying the food. Thank you again to Hatfield for stopping by this morning. Jen and Kevin came in.
Super nice.
And our friends all here in the studio got to eat, which is great. We love it when we can feed people who happen to be coming by the studio today. So thank you to Hatfield. Premium Reserve Pork is what they brought by. It's all about natural, no artificial ingredients. You can look for it in your local grocery store. If you don't see it, make sure you ask for it. You can find out more about Hatfield. Premium Reserve Pork at TastyTenderEveryTime.com. Lots of T's in there. TastyTenderEveryTime.com. T.
That should be part of a sobriety test.
You're right. So thank you to those guys for stopping in. Today was fun. How awesome is Christina? Who
She's
by?
Great.
Christina P. Christina, forgot
Pajitsky.
How
it's... Pajitsky.
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 Yes. Yes. And she will be at Punchline tonight. There are two shows. The 7:30 is sold out, but there are just a handful of tickets left for the 9:45 show, which you can get at punchlinephilly.com. So do that if you would like to, because we recommend it. She's a very, very fun and was a cool person to hang out with. Her husband is Tom Segura.
Yeah. I mean, you could hang with them as a couple. No problem.
Yeah. I agree. Pierre Robert is indeed here, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go for this broadcast. Right, Cowpoke?
Hell yeah, hunting buddy. What are we going to get us, some squirrel this weekend?
Nah, we're going to get some possum, man.
Oh, possum. Yeah. That's good itin'.
Yeah, that is. I'd love to eat that.
It's itin'. I put some barbecue sauce on it.
Possum. It's what's for right dinner.
Yeah, we'll meet out back a little later on.
Got to do my practice first.
What's your practice?
Your pickup or mine?
We'll just take yours this time.
Okay.
All right.
Your Tesla pickup.
I'll get the gate.
I got a Volkswagen van pickup. Wait, I'm morphing back.
Yeah,
to
I know.
My
we need to, let's go back to normal now. Okay. How you doing, man?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent.
Peace and love.
Yes, all that. We should get the letter because people are standing by to win this very cool prize. You ready, man?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
M as in madness.
All right, and you should have our Word of the Week if you've been keeping track of the letter. So we'll take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. And indeed, see if you do have it. If so, you might win this very cool prize from our friends at the Stock Car Racing Experience, which would be solid. You ever been in a stock car before, Pierre?
We sponsored one year. And
yes.
Danger, right?
Danger Hoff. Yes. Bill Danger Hoff. Wasn't Bill that Danger his name?
Great guy. Yeah. Yeah. We really had him do a stunt guy. Or two for us, yeah.
Danger Hoff.
Mine, all right.
Danger.
Did you call him Danger?
Well,
it's not even a word.
I was interpreting his name was some German interpretation because of the Hoff.
Dunger.
And so I, you know, so for the
so
first
name is
three or four weeks, we're going, I'm going, and our number 93 race car, driven by our own Bill Dangerhoff.
Dangerhoff.
And finally, he could take no more. He was so fed up. Chuck D'Amico, in his calm way, came in and he goes, "That's Danger." Oh. And
Dangerhoff.
Dangerhoff.
But did you ever ride with him?
Yes. Okay. Well, not with him. Yes. No, I did ride with him. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't we have him throw on?
I think we had him throw it in park.
Yeah, throw it in park.
We had him driving a car full speed and then throw it right into park.
Yeah.
Or reverse or
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, we bought a junker. We bought like a $50 junker car.
Turns out it's not good for the car.
That's not, yeah. That was the end of it, right?
No, it wasn't the complete end, but it effed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but anyhow, you doing all right today, man?
Yes. There used to be a hardware store out here called Channel.
Okay.
When I first got here, and I was reading, one of those little brought to you bys, and by the 20 area Chanel store, so to say, and one of our production people, you can't get a better chainsaw than at that fine Chanel store.
Chanel.
And then another guy came in and said, "Moron, it's Channel."
Our famous mispronunciations are Miraclegro, which was Miracle Grow.
That was
nice.
That was Cassie.
Yeah. I love that. Yes. It was copy, and I didn't see it beforehand. I didn't look at it beforehand.
Miraclegro.
So I was like, Miraclegro. Oh,
that makes me so
and then
happy.
We had one. There was a company called Silver Sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was Silversia.
I can see that.
My favorite, though.
Was it Marilyn?
Nutrise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nutrice. Was Nutrise. Was that me?
That was you.
Yeah. Nutrice or... What's that? It was called Nutrice. No.
Nutrice was the name of it, and I said, it's brought to you by Nutrise.
Well, Marilyn Russell had a great one, Preston.
It was a cold read that I was doing. Yeah, she had a couple.
She was reporting on the Olympics, and a particular athlete had participated in the downhill shalom.
Oh, wow.
She had a couple more. There was she was doing a traffic report, and there was black ice on the road, right?
Right.
Or no, she just sounded like she was saying there was black guys on the road.
And then the police were looking for an African American gentleman, a 9'5" African American gentleman.
Right. Yeah, and then also gold ball sized hail.
Yeah, gold ball sized hail.
What?
Yeah, so golf ball sized hail.
That's awesome.
What was? Wait, there was one. What was your Church of E?
Oh, the all right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, so the Church of England in abbreviated form is C of E. Okay, so I was reading this entire story, this bizarre file story, and so the C is capitalized, little O, little F, big E. Okay, so
coffee.
But I saw it as one word, yes. Yeah. But I was calling it the cough E.
The cough E.
And someone from England called in, they're like, "It's the C of E, you idiot. It's the Church of England."
There's one that's better though. The Maga Church.
Oh yes. Yeah. That was Oprah talking about a mega church.
Oh my God.
Maga church.
And you called it a Maga church.
The Maga church.
So this is making me feel very
good. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad at all.
I'm not alone with my Chanel stories.
You see things in print. You can't be aware of every pronunciation.
Yeah. I put the Channel stores out of business. Yeah. They're not there anymore.
You now sell Nutrise.
And those beautiful scented chainsaws are not there anymore. And I think Mr. Dangerhoff retired.
Yeah.
But there you are.
I play Scrabble Words with Friends all the time, and it's simple words that I'm like, oh, I wonder if theme is a word. T-H-E-N. You know? And it's like,
that's great.
Theme. Oh, I'm going to try theme, see if that's actually a word.
We all make them. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the phone, see if we can get ourselves a winner here. I'm looking for caller number 7, and we'll see who's got the proper word. It's up to Joey to give it to us. Hi, Joey. Good morning to you.
Not a finger.
Not a finger.
All right, Joey, say the magic word. It's the right one. Pierre's going to let you know.
That word is one of my daughter's favorites. It is dream.
Great day in the evening, dreamers.
Yeah.
All right, so Joey, We have an amazing experience for you. It is a 20-mile driving experience brought to you by Stock Car Racing Experience. You get to drive a 600-horsepower stock car on NASCAR's famous 2.5-mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway, my man.
Awesome, man. I'm a lifelong NASCAR fan, and I've never had the chance to do it.
Terrific. Aww. You're going to freak out over this, because it's you can bring the family, and it's a full event, so you'll love it. Hang on the line, Joey. We'll get your information.
That's
all right,
awesome,
buddy?
Guys.
Have a great weekend. Don't forget that the Pros at Stock Car Racing Experience will actually put you behind the wheel of 160-mile-per-hour NASCAR-style stock car, and when you start the engine, you're going to know it's an experience of a lifetime. This is a great gift. Check them out online at 877-STOCK-CAR.com.
Now, you've done that before, haven't
I've
you?
I've done it a couple times, yeah.
I rode as a passenger in Mr. Dongerhoff's car, but I never actually drove it. I would be terrified to drive it. How do you keep from getting wildly out of control?
They ease you into it, and getting up to that, like, 160-mile-an-hour thing, you're going really fast, obviously, but the track and the cars are made to go upwards of 200, so 160 is as long as you know, steer properly and keep it safe. And they have a car. They have people in front of you and behind you to make sure that you're going properly. And there's they actually have signs that they'll hold up that let you know to back off or speed up or whatever, or get out of the way. And
there's no one else in the car with you.
No, right? You're by yourself.
So there's no.
It's
like,
cool.
There's no, like, when you have driver training and there's another wheel and another
brake. Yeah, there's
brake
a NASCAR driver with another steering wheel.
You got to know your way around a manual transmission.
Wow.
Because once you get it up to speed, you don't change gears anymore. But to get from the pit row onto the track, you got to go through three or four gears.
No
and then once you get
though,
up
right?
there, then you just floor it. What's that?
No clutch, all right.
There's a clutch.
There is a clutch.
Yeah, you got to drive a stick.
Nick and I are manual transmission drivers. How many of you guys can drive a...
I think all of us.
I used to be able to. You know what? It's been years. Like, I stopped driving a manual when I started doing stand-up comedy because I would be driving and I would always have, like, a Hagstrom map or, you know, driving
something,
to clubs.
Yeah.
And I was juggling too much. Huh. And so and it's been decades.
You would pick it right back up, Steve. This
what past, I am.
Last summer, we went to Sweden and we rented a car and we get in and sure enough, it's a manual transmission. And I'm like, I'll drive. And I loved it. I just got right back to it. And while I wouldn't want to drive one every day because of getting in traffic sucks with
right,
a manual
right.
transmission, they are fun to drive.
Yeah. I just gave mine up a couple of years back. You just gave yours up a little while ago.
Yeah, I have that hybrid now, the sort of the manual automatic. But I'd like to go back to manual. I find it more fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. All right. What's on the show today, man?
Thank you for asking. We'll have another $50 gift certificate to the Star Restaurants, which is way cool. We will have another pair of opening night tickets to the Met, where Weezer will play. It's our MMR opening. The official opening was earlier in the week. Our MMR opening is this coming Wednesday. We'll broadcast live. Queen tickets went on sale as of 9 a.m. this morning for their return with Adam Lambert. We'll do a block. Also, we will celebrate the life of John Lennon. Tomorrow's the anniversary of his passing, and it's Delaware Day, so we're going to do a theme block of some Delawareans, among them the Bard of the Barroom and Steve's favorite, Lonesome George Thurgood.
Are you aware that Bob Marley lived in Delaware?
Yes.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I am aware of that.
Okay.
And a lot of people do compare Delaware to Jamaica.
It's
very similar.
It's a Caribbean of the Northeast. by the way, somebody had just tweeted this out, Pierre. We were just talking about going to hunt some possum. Apparently, there's a picture of you with next to a sign that says "Eat more possum." Was that at the Cardboard Classic or something?
It looks like Cardboard Classic. Maybe even Camp Out for Hunger. I don't know.
Wow,
that's good.
That's impressive.
Pierre Robert talking possum.
All right. Well, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Next week on our show, a bunch of people in our studio. We're going to have some new Wings players stopping by.
Yes, that's right.
The Wings return to Philadelphia. Comedian Pete Lee will be in our studio. We will also have in our studio Tobias Forge of Ghost.
Yep.
As they are in town, and it is a ghost weekend here on MMR, so listen up for your chance to win some really exclusive stuff. We'll also have a concert announcement next week. I think it's a big egg.
Yeah, it's a big mother.
All right, so that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, you guys. Thanks for being here this morning. We love you.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you. Line.
If you want to mess with people in the parking lots during Christmas mayhem, find a nice parking spot close to the building and sit there with your car in reverse. See how many people will sit there and wait for you to back out. It's absolutely funny.
Next message.
I wanted to say a few things I'm thankful for. The series of great interviews you guys have been having. That guy, Daniel Roebuck, was one of the greatest dudes you have ever had on the show. And how about Bruce Valanche? Seriously, Bruce freaking Valanche? He was awesome. Let's all be thankful for good surprises.
Next message.
Cowboys.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.